Research, I've listened to more than 150 BBC radio productions of Shakespeare's plays, including the one you're about to hear. When this Hamlet was first broadcast in 1971, the Radio Times reported that many people, on hearing that Ronald Pickup was to play the lead, might well ask, who? Pickup had just a few previous parts on radio under his belt, but producer John Tidyman spotted something special in the actor. Nearly five decades later, Tidyman told me, I thought Ronald Pickup was the best Hamlet that I've ever heard. He sounded as if he had a mind. You've got to have a bit of intelligence to act on radio. You have to see the pictures in your head. Playing Hamlet for BBC Radio 3 was of particular significance to Pickup. He told the reporter at the Radio Times, where I was brought up in Chester, there wasn't a lot of theatre. It was listening to radio that gave me the urge to be an actor. Who knows how many others were inspired by Pickup's own radio performances to follow him into the profession. Tidyman was the sort of producer who liked to keep things simple, relying on performances from the best actors to convey Shakespeare's plays. In this production, you'll notice there aren't that many sound effects, no soundscapes as you might find in audio drama today. Gillian Reynolds in The Guardian praised Tidyman for this, writing, even those critics who have seen half a dozen Hamlets in the past 12 months would have been hard put to fault this version, which marked the measure of the verse, restrained itself on the sound effects, and brought the characters roundly to the test. However, Tidyman did use one important resource at his disposal to enhance the play, the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. Malcolm Clarke was responsible for the sound score. When you listen to the beginning, you'll particularly notice not only the strange banging sounds, but that as this is in stereo, they move from ear to ear or speaker to speaker. Radiophonics aren't just used for scene setting, though. Clarke almost makes them another character in the drama. For example, the ghost of Old King Hamlet doesn't always announce his presence, a potential problem on radio. But here, sound effects make it quite clear when he's there and when he's not. And the reactions of the cast, particularly Pickup, show how startling the ghost is, helping us to do exactly what Tidyman wanted his actors to do, see the pictures in our heads. Reviewing the broadcast, Jeremy Runzel in the Sunday Times wrote that Pickup's Hamlet was gelignite packed in a Ming vase, and when the explosion came, it was shattering. While David Wade in the Times told his readers, there is an acid test of any Hamlet at the end, which too often finds the audience emotionally blank. Not this one. Tears might be out of place, but Mr. Pickup leaves us in no doubt that a brilliant light has been put out. It's more than 50 years since this production has been broadcast on BBC Radio, despite the hugely positive reaction it received. I think that definitely qualifies it as a hidden treasure. Bringing it back to the airwaves has been a group effort from Keith Wickham at the Radio Circle, Essential Radio and BBC Radio 3. So now, here is William Shakespeare's Hamlet.
Hamlet, Prince of Denmark.
Who's there?
Nay, answer me. Stand and unfold yourself.
Lord of the King.
Bernardo.
He.
You've come most carefully upon your hour.
It is now struck 12. Get thee to my Francisco.
For this relief, much thanks. It is bitter cold, and I'm sick at heart.
Have you had quiet guard?
Not a mouse stirring.
Well, good night. If you do meet Horatio and Marcellus, the rivals of my watch, bid them make haste.
I think I hear them. Stand ho, who's there?
Friends to this crowd,
and liegemen to the Dane.
Give you good night.
Oh, farewell, honest soldier. Who hath relieved you?
Bernardo hath my face. Give you good night.
Hola, Bernardo.
What? Is Horatio there?
A piece of him.
Welcome, Horatio. Welcome, good Marcellus.
What, has this thing appeared again tonight?
I've seen nothing.
Horatio says 'tis but our fantasy and will not let belief take hold of him touching this dreaded sight twice sequence. Therefore, I have entreated him along with us to watch the minutes of this night, that if again this apparition come, he may approve our eyes and speak to it.
Tush, tush, 'twill not appear.
Sit down a while, and let us once again assail your ears that are so fortified against our story what we have two nights seen.
Well, sit we down, and let us hear Bernardo speak of this.
Last night of all, when yon same star that's westward from the pole had made his course to loom that part of heaven where now it burns, Marcellus and myself, the bell then beating one.
Peace! Break me off! Look! Where it comes again!
In the same figure like the king that's dead.
Thou art a scholar, speak to it, Horatio.
Looks it not like the king? Mark it, Horatio.
Most like. Harrows me with fear and wonder.
It would be smoke to question it, Horatio.
What art thou that usurps this time of night, together with that fair and warlike form in which the majesty of buried Denmark did sometimes march? By heaven, I charge thee, speak.
It is offended.
See, it stalks away.
Stay, speak. Speak, I charge thee, speak.
'Tis gone, and will not answer.
How now, Horatio? You tremble and look pale. Is not this something more than fantasy? What think you, aunt?
Before my God, I might not this believe without the sensible and true avouch of mine own eyes.
Is it not like the king?
As thou art to thyself.
Thus twice before, and jump at this dead hour with martial stalk, hath he gone by our watch?
In what particular thought to work, I know not. But in the gross and scope of my opinion, this bode some strange eruption to our state.
Soft.
Behold, lo, and it comes again. I'll cross it, though it blast me. Stay, illusion. If thou hast any sound or use of voice, speak to me. If there be any good thing to be done that may to thee do ease and grace, to me, speak to me. If thou art privy to thy country's fate, which happily foreknowing may avoid, oh, speak. Or if thou hast abhorred in thy life extorted treasure in the womb of earth, for which they say you spirits oft walk in death, speak of it. Stay and speak. Stop it, Marcellus.
Shall I strike at it with my partisan?
Do if it will not stand.
Tis here.
Tis here.
Tis gone. We do it wrong, being so majestical, to offer it the show of violence. For it is as the air invulnerable, and our vain blows malicious mockery.
It was about to speak when the cock crew.
And then it started like a guilty thing upon a fearful summons. I have heard the cock, that is the trumpet to the morn, doth with his lofty and shrill-sounding throat awake the god of day. And at his warning, whether in sea or fire, in earth or air, the extravagant and erring spirit hies to his confine. And of the truth herein, this present object made probation.
It faded on the crowing of the cock.
But look, the morn in russet mantle clad walks o'er the dew of yon high eastward hill. Break we our watch up, and by my advice, let us impart what we have seen tonight unto young Hamlet. For upon my life, this spirit, dumb to us, will speak to him. Do you consent we shall acquaint him with it as needful in our lives, fitting our duty?
Let's do it, I pray. And I this morning know where we shall find him most convenient.
Though yet of Hamlet our dear brother's death the memory be green, and that it us befitted to bear our hearts in grief, and our whole kingdom to be contracted in one brow of woe. Yet so far hath discretion fought with nature, that we with wisest sorrow think on him, together with remembrance of ourselves. Therefore, our sometime sister, now our queen, the imperial jointress to this warlike state, have we, as 'twere, with a defeated joy, with an auspicious and a drooping eye, with mirth in funeral and with dirge in marriage, in equal scale, weighing delight and dole, taken to wife. Nor have we herein barred your better wisdoms, which have freely gone with this affair along. For all, our thanks. Now follows that you know. Young Fortinbras, holding a weak supposal of our worth, or thinking by our late dear brother's death our state to be disjoint and out of frame, colleagued with this dream of his advantage, he hath not failed to pester us with message, importing the surrender of those lands lost by his father with all bands of law to our most valiant brother. So much for him! Now for ourselves, and for this time of meeting. This much the business is. We have here writ to Norway, uncle of young Fortinbras, who, impotent and bedrid, scarcely hears of this his nephew's purpose, to suppress his further gain herein. And now, Laertes, what's the news with you? You told us of some suit. What is Laertes? You cannot speak of reason to the Dane and lose your voice. What wouldst thou beg, Laertes, that shall not be my offer, not thy asking? The head is not more native to the heart, the hand more instrumental to the mouth, than is the throne of Denmark to thy father. What wouldst thou have, Laertes?
Dread my lord, your leave and favour to return to France. From whence, though willingly I came to Denmark to show my duty in your coronation, yet now, I must confess, that duty done, my thoughts and wishes bend again toward France, and bow them to your gracious leave and pardon.
Have you your father's leave? What says Polonius?
He hath, my lord, wrung from me my slow leave by laboursome petition, and at last upon his will I sealed my hard consent. I do beseech you, give him leave to go.
Take thy fair hour, Laertes. Time be thine, and thy best graces spend it at thy will.
My lord.
But now, my cousin Hamlet, and my son.
A little more than kin, and less than kind.
How is it that the clouds still hang on you?
Not so, my lord. I am too much in the sun.
Good Hamlet, cast thy nighted colour off, and let thine eye look like a friend on Denmark. Do not for ever with thy veiled lids seek for thy noble father in the dust. Thou know'st 'tis common, all that live must die, passing through nature to eternity.
Aye, madam, it is common.
If it be, why seems it so particular with thee?
Seems, madam? Nay, it is, I know not, seems. 'Tis not alone my inky cloak, good mother, nor customary suits of solemn black, nor windy suspiration of forced breath, no, nor the fruitful river in the eye, nor the dejected haviour of the visage, together with all forms, moods, shows of grief that can denote me truly. These indeed seem, for they are actions that a man might play. But I have that within which passeth show. These but the trappings and the suits of woe.
'Tis sweet and commendable in your nature, Hamlet, to give these mourning duties to your father. But you must know your father lost a father, that father lost his, and the survivor bound in filial obligation for some term to do obsequious sorrow. But to persever in obstinate condolement is a course of impious stubbornness. 'Tis unmanly grief. It shows a will most incorrect to heaven, a heart unfortified, or mind impatient, an understanding simple and unschooled. For what we know must be, and is as common as any of the most vulgar thing to sense, why should we, in our peevish opposition, take it to heart? Fie! 'Tis a fault to heaven, a fault against the dead, a fault to nature, to reason most absurd, whose common theme is death of fathers, and who still hath cried from the first course till he that died today, this must be so. We pray you throw to earth this unprevailing woe, and think of us as of a father. For let the world take note, you are the most immediate to our throne, and with no less nobility of love than that which dearest father bears his son do I impart toward you. For your intent in going back to school in Wittenberg, it is most retrograde to our desire. And we beseech you, bend you to remain here in the cheer and comfort of our eye, our chiefest courtier, cousin, and our son.
Let not thy mother lose her prayers, Hamlet. I pray thee stay with us. Go not to Wittenberg.
I shall in all my best obey you, madam.
Why, it is a loving and a fair reply. Be as ourself in Denmark. Madam, come. This gentle and unforced accord of Hamlet sits smiling to my heart, in grace whereof no jocund health that Denmark drinks today, but the great cannon to the clouds shall tell, and the king's rouse the heavens shall brew it again, re-speaking earthly thunder. Come away!
Oh, that this too sullied flesh would melt, thaw and resolve itself into a dew.
or that the Everlasting had not fixed his cannon against self-slaughter. Oh, God! God! How weary, stale, flat, and unprofitable seem to me all the uses of this world. Fiat! Oh, fie! 'Tis an unweeded garden that grows to seed. Things rank and gross in nature possess it merely. That it should come to this, but 2 months dead, nay, not so much, not two. So excellent a king that was to this Hyperion, to a satyr. So loving to my mother, that he might not beteem the winds of heaven visit her face too roughly. Heaven and earth must, I remember. Why, she would hang on him as if increase of appetite had grown by what it fed on, and yet within a month. Let me not think on't. Frailty, thy name is woman. A little month, or ere those shoes were old with which she followed my poor father's body, like Niobe, all tears, why she, even she, O God, a beast that wants discourse of reason, would have mourned longer, married with my uncle. My father's brother, but no more like my father than I to Hercules. Within a month, ere yet the salt of most unrighteous tears had left the flushing in her galled eyes, she married. O most wicked speed, to post with such dexterity to incestuous sheets. It is not, nor it cannot come to good. But break my heart, for I must hold my tongue.
Hail to your lordship.
I'm glad to see you well. Horatio, while I do forget myself.
The same, my lord, and your poor servant, Emma.
Sir, my good friend, I'll change that name with you. And what make you from Wittenberg, Horatio? Marcellus.
My good lord.
Oh, I'm glad to see you. Good even, sir.
My lord.
But what in faith make you from Wittenberg?
A truant disposition, good my lord.
I would not hear your enemies say so, nor shall you do my ear that violence to make it truster of your own report against yourself. I know you are no truant. But what is your affair in Elsinore? We'll teach you to drink deep ere you depart.
My lord, I came to see your father's funeral.
I prithee, do not mock me, fellow student. I think it was to see my mother's wedding.
Indeed, my lord, it followed hard upon.
Thrift. Thrift, Horatio, the funeral-baked meats did coldly furnish forth the marriage tables. Would I had met my dearest foe in heaven that I had ever seen that day, Horatio. My father. Methinks I see my father.
Oh, where, my lord?
In my mind's eye, Horatio.
I saw him once. He was a goodly king.
He was a man, take him for all in all. I shall not look upon his like again.
My lord, I think I saw him yesternight.
Saw? Who?
My lord, the king, your father.
The king? My father?
Season your admiration for a while with an attent ear, till I may deliver upon the witness of these gentlemen this marvel to you.
For God's love, let me hear.
2 nights together had these gentlemen, Marcellus and Barnardo, on their watch in the dead waste and middle of the night, been thus encountered. A figure, like your father, armed at point exactly, cap a pie, appears before them, and with solemn march goes slow and stately by them. Thrice he walked by their oppressed and fear-surprised eyes, within his truncheon's length, whilst they, distilled almost to jelly with the act of fear, stand dumb and speak not to him. This to me in dreadful secrecy in part they did, and I within the third night kept the watch, where, as they had delivered, both in time, form of the thing, each word made true and good, the apparition comes. I knew your father, these hands are not more like.
But where was this?
My lord, upon the platform where we watch.
Did you not speak to
my
it?
My lord, I did, but answer made it none. Yet once, methought, it lifted up its head and did address itself to motion like as it would speak. But even then the morning cock crew loud, and at the sound it shrunk in haste away and vanished from our sight.
'Tis very strange.
As I do live, my honored lord, 'tis true. And we did think it writ down in our duty to let you know of it.
Indeed, indeed, sirs, but this troubles me. Hold you the watch tonight.
We do, my lord.
Armed, say you?
Armed, my lord.
From top to toe?
My lord, from head to foot.
Then saw you not, his face?
Oh, yes, my lord, he wore his beaver up.
What looked he frowning ye?
A countenance more in sorrow than in anger.
Pale or red?
Nay, very pale.
And fixed his eyes upon you?
Most constantly.
I would I had been there.
It would have much amazed you.
Very like, very like. Stayed it long?
While one with moderate haste might tell 100.
Longer,
longer.
Not when I saw it.
His beard was grizzled, no.
It was as I have seen it in his life, as sable silvered.
I will watch tonight. Perchance 'twill walk again.
I warrant it will.
If it assume my noble father's person, I'll speak to it, though hell itself should gape and bid me hold my peace. I pray you all, if you have hitherto concealed this sight, let it be tenable in your silence still, and whatsoever else shall hap tonight, give it an understanding, but no tongue. I will requite your loves. So fare you well. Upon the platform twixt 11 and 12, I'll visit you.
Our duty to your honor.
Your loves, as mine to you. Farewell.
My father's spirit in arms?
All is not well. I doubt some foul play.
Would the night were come.
Till then sit still, my soul. Foul deeds will rise, though all the earth o'erwhelm them to men's eyes.
My necessaries are embarked. Farewell. And, sister, as the winds give benefit and convoy is assistant, do not sleep, but let me hear from you.
Do you doubt that?
For Hamlet and the trifling of his favour hold it a fashion and a toy in blood, a violet in the youth of primy nature, forward, not permanent, sweet, not lasting, the perfume and suppliance of a minute, no more.
No more but so.
Think it no more. Perhaps he loves you now, and now no soil nor quartal doth besmirch the virtue of his will. But you must fear, his greatness weighed, his will is not his own. For he himself is subject to his birth. He may not, as unvalued persons do, carve for himself. For on his choice depends the safety and the health of this whole state. And therefore must his choice be circumscribed unto the voice and yielding of that body whereof he is the head. Then if he says he loves you, it fits your wisdom so far to believe it, as he in his particular act and place may give his saying deed, which is no further than the main voice of Denmark goes withal. Then weigh what loss your honour may sustain, if with too credent ear you list his songs, or lose your heart, or your chaste treasure open to his unmastered importunity. Fear it, Ophelia, fear it, my dear sister, and keep you in the rear of your affection, out of the shot and danger of desire.
I shall the effect of this good lesson keep, as watchman to my heart.
Ah.
But, good my brother, do not, as some ungracious pastors do, show me the steep and thorny way to heaven, whilst like a puffed and reckless libertine, himself the primrose path of dalliance treads, and wrecks not his own reed.
Oh, fear me not. I stay too long, but here my father comes. A double blessing is a double grace. Occasion smiles upon a second lee.
Yet here, Laertes, aboard, aboard, for shame. The wind sits in the shoulder of your sail, and you are stayed for. My blessing with thee. And these few precepts in thy memory see thou character. Give thy thoughts no tongue, nor any unproportioned thought is act. Be thou familiar, but by no means vulgar. Those friends thou hast and their adoption tried, grapple them unto thy soul with hoops of steel, but do not dull thy palm with entertainment of each new hatched, unfledged comrade. Beware of entrance to a quarrel, but being in, bet that the opposed may beware of thee. Give every man thy ear, but few thy voice. Take each man's censure, but reserve thy judgment. Costly thy habit as thy purse can buy, but not expressed in fancy. Rich, not gaudy. For the apparel oft proclaims the man, and they in France of the chief rank and station are most select and generous in that. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. Loan oft loses both itself and friend, and borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry. This, above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. Farewell. My blessing season this in thee.
Most humbly do I take my leave, my lord.
The time invites you. Go. Your servant's ten.
Farewell, Ophelia. And remember well what I have said to you.
'Tis in my memory locked, and you yourself shall keep the key of it.
Farewell.
What is it, Ophelia, he has said to you?
So please you, something touching the Lord Hamlet.
Mary, well bethought. 'Tis told me he hath very oft of late given private time to you, and you yourself have of your audience been most free and bounteous. If it be so, as so 'tis put on me, and that in way of caution, I must tell you, you do not understand yourself so clearly as it behoves my daughter and your honor. What is between you? Give me up the truth.
He hath, my lord, of late made many tenders of his affection to me.
Affection? Oh, you speak like a green girl, unsifted in such perilous circumstance. Do you believe his tenders, as you call them?
I do not know, my lord, what I should think.
Mary, I will teach you. Think yourself a baby that you've tamed these tenders for true pay, which are not sterling. Tender yourself more dearly. Or not to peck the wind of the poor phrase, running it thus, you'll tender me a fool.
My lord, he hath importuned me with love in honourable fashion.
Aye, his springes to catch woodcocks. I do know, when the blood burns, how prodigal the soul lends the tongue vows. These blazes, daughter, giving more light than heat, extinct in both, even in their promise, as it is a making, you must not take for fire. From this time be something scattered of your maiden presence. For Lord Hamlet believes so much in him that he is young, and with a larger tether may he walk than may be given you. In few, Ophelia, do not believe his vows, for they are brokers, not of that dye which their investment show, but mere implorators of unholy suits, breathing like sanctified and pious bawds, the better to beguile. And this is for all. I would not, in plain terms, from this time forth, have you to slander any moment leisure as to give words or talk with the Lord Hamlet. Look to it, I charge you.
I shall obey, my lord.
Air bites shrewdly. It is very cold. It is a nipping and an eager air. What hour now?
I think it lacks of 12.
No, it is struck.
Indeed, I heard it not. It then draws near the season wherein the spirit held his wont to walk.
What does this mean, my lord?
The king doth wake tonight and takes his rouse. Heaps wassail and the swaggering upswing reels. And as he drains his draughts of Rhenish down, the kettle drum and trumpet thus bray out the triumph of his pledge.
Is it a custom?
Aye, Marius, but to my mind, though I am native here and to the manor born, it is a custom more honoured in the breach than the observance. Look, my lord. It comes.
Angels and ministers of grace defend us. Be thou a spirit of health, or goblin damned, bring with thee airs from heaven or blasts from hell. Be thy intents wicked or charitable, thou comest in such a questionable shape that I will speak to thee. I'll call thee Hamlet, King, Father, Royal Dane. Oh, answer me. Let me not burst in ignorance, but tell why thy canonized bones, hearsed in death, have burst their sediments. Why the sepulchre wherein we saw thee quietly inurned hath oped his ponderous and marble jaws to cast thee up again. What may this mean? That thou, dead corse, again in complete steel revisits thus the glimpses of the moon, making night hideous, and we fools of nature so horridly to shake our disposition with thoughts beyond the reaches of our souls. Say, why is this? Wherefore? What should we do?
I consent to go away with it, as if it's some impartment and desire to you alone.
Look with what courteous action it waves you to a more removed ground, but do not go with it.
No, by no means. Do not speak.
Then I will follow it. Do not, my lord. Why, what should be the fear? I do not set my life at a pin's fee. And for my soul, what can it do to that, being a thing immortal as itself? It waves me forth again. I'll follow it.
What if it tempt you to the flood, my lord? Or to the dreadful summit of the cliff that beetles o'er his base into the sea, and there assumes another horrible form which might deprive your sovereignty of reason and draw you into madness? Think of it. The very place puts toys of desperation without more motive into every brain that looks so many fathoms to the sea and hears it roar beneath.
It waves me still. Go on. I'll follow thee.
You shall not go, my lord.
Hold off your hands.
Be ruled, you shall not go.
My fate cries out and makes each petty artery in this body as hardy as the Nemean lion's nerve. Still I called. Unhand me, gentlemen. By heaven, I'll make a ghost of him that lets me. I say away. Go on. I'll follow thee.
He waxes desperate with imagination.
Let's follow. It is not fit thus to obey him.
Have after. To what issue will this come?
Something is rotten in the state of Denmark.
Heaven will direct it.
Nay, let's follow him.
Whither wilt thou lead me? Speak. I'll go no further.
Mark me.
I will.
My hour is almost come, when I to sulphurous and tormenting flames must render up myself.
Alas, poor ghost.
Pity me not, but lend thy serious hearing to what I shall unfold.
Speak. I am bound to hear.
So art thou to revenge when thou shalt hear.
What?
I am thy father's spirit, doomed for a certain term to walk the night, and for the day confined to fasting fires, till the foul crimes done in my days of nature are burnt and purged away. But that I am forbid to tell the secrets of my prison house, I could a tale unfold whose lightest word would harrow up thy soul, freeze thy young blood, make thy two eyes like stars start from their spheres, thy knotted and combined locks to part, and each particular hair to stand on end like quills upon the fretful porcupine. But this eternal blazon must not be to ears of flesh and blood. List, list, oh list, if thou didst ever thy dear father love.
Oh God!
Revenge his foul and most unnatural murder.
Murder.
Murder most foul as in the best it is. But this most foul, strange and unnatural.
Is't me to know it, that I, with wings as swift as meditation or the thoughts of love, may sweep to my revenge.
I find thee apt, and duller shouldst thou be than the fat weed that roots itself in ease on Lethe wharf, wouldst thou not stir in this. Now, Hamlet, hear. 'Tis given out that sleeping in mine orchard a serpent stung me. So the whole ear of Denmark is by a forged process of my death rankly abused. But know, thou noble youth, the serpent that did sting thy father's life now wears his crown.
Oh, my prophetic soul, my uncle!
Aye, that incestuous, that adultery beast, with witchcraft of his wit, with traitorous gifts, oh, wicked wit, and gifts that have the power so to seduce, won to his shameful lust the will of my most seeming virtuous queen. Oh, Hamlet, what a falling off was there. From me, whose love was of that dignity, that it went hand in hand even with the vow I made to her in marriage, and to decline upon a wretch whose natural gifts were poor to those of mine. But virtue, as it never will be moved, though lewdness caught it in a shape of heaven, so lust, though to a radiant angel linked, will sate itself in a celestial bed and prey on garbage. But soft, methinks I scent the morning air. Brief, it may be. Sleeping within my orchard, my custom always of the afternoon, upon my secure hour, thy uncle stole, with juice of cursed hebenon in a vial, and in the porches of my ears did pour the leprous distillment, whose effect holds such an enmity with blood of man, that swift as quicksilver, it courses through the natural gates and alleys of the body, and with a sudden vigor it doth posit and curd, like eager droppings into milk, the thin and wholesome blood. So did it mine, and a most instant tetter barked about, most lazar-like, with vile and loathsome crust, all my smooth body. Thus was I sleeping, by a brother's hand, of life, of crown, of queen, at once dispatched, cut off, even in the blossoms of my sin, unhouseled, disappointed, unannealed, no reckoning made, but sent to my account with all my imperfections on my head. Oh, horrible. Oh, horrible. Most horrible. If thou hast nature in thee, bear it not. Let not the royal bed of Denmark be a couch for luxury and damned incest. But howsoever thou pursuest this act, taint not thy mind, nor let thy soul contrive against thy mother aught. Leave her to heaven, and to those thorns that in her bosom lodge to prick and sting her. Fare thee well at once. The glow-worm shows the matin to be near, and gins to pale his ineffectual fire. Adieu. 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 Remember me.
All you hosts of heaven, of earth. What else? And shall I couple hell? Oh, fie. Hold. Hold, my heart. And you, my sinews, grow not instant. Hold, but bear me stiffly. Up. Remember thee. Aye, thou poor ghost, whilst memory holds a seat in this distracted globe. Remember thee. Yea, from the table of my memory, I'll wipe away all trivial fond records, all sores of books, all forms, all pressures past that youth and observation copied there, and thy commandment all alone shall live within the book and volume of my brain, unmixed with baser matter. Yes, by heaven. Oh, most pernicious woman. Oh, villain. Villain. Smiling. Damned villain. My table's meat it is. I set it down that one may smile and smile and be a villain. At least I'm sure it may be so in Denmark. So, uncle, there you are. Now to my word. It is adieu. Adieu. Remember me. I have sworn.
My lord! My lord!
Hamlet!
Heaven secure him.
So be it.
Hello, ho, ho, my lord!
Hello, ho, ho, boy! Come, bird, come!
How is my noble lord?
What news, my lord?
Oh, wonderful!
Could my lord tell it?
No, you will reveal it.
Not I, my lord, by heaven.
Not I, my lord.
How say you then, would heart of man once think it? But you'll be secret.
Aye, by heaven.
There's never a villain dwelling in all Denmark. But he's an arrant knave.
There needs no ghost, my lord, come from the grave to tell us this.
Why, right, you are in the right. And so, without more circumstance at all, I hold it fit that we shake hands and part. You at your business and desire shall point you, for every man hath business and desire such as it is. And for my own poor part, I will go pray.
These are but wild and whirling words, my lord.
I'm sorry they offend you. Heartily, yes, faith, heartily.
There's no offence, my lord.
Yes, by St. Patrick, but there is, Horatio, and much offence too, touching this vision here. It is an honest ghost, that let me tell you. For your desire to know what is between us, or master it as you may. And now, good friends, as you are friends, scholars and soldiers, give me one poor request.
What is, my lord, we will.
Never
Make known what you have seen tonight.
My lord, we will not.
Nay, but swear it.
In faith, my lord, not I.
Not I, my lord, in faith.
On my sword.
We have sworn, my lord, already.
Indeed, upon my sword. Indeed.
Aha, boy. Says that so?
Art thou there, Truepenny? Come on. You hear this fellow in the cellarage consent to swear?
Propose the oath, my lord.
Never. To speak of this that you have seen, swear by my sword. Hic et ubique. Then we'll shift our ground. Come hither, gentlemen. And lay your hands again upon my sword. Never to speak of this that you have heard, swear by my sword.
Well said. Old Mole, canst work at the earth so fast? A worthy pioneer, once more remove, good friends.
Oh, day and night, but this is wondrous strange.
And therefore, as a stranger, give it welcome. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. But come, here as before, never, so help you mercy, how strange or odd soe'er I bear myself, as I perchance hereafter shall think meet to put an antic disposition on. That you at such times seeing me never shall, with arms encumbered thus, or this head shake, or by pronouncing of some doubtful phrase, as well, well, we know, or we could, and if we would, or if we list to speak, or there be, and if they might, or such ambiguous giving out to note that you know aught of me, this not to do. So grace and mercy at your most need help you. So, gentlemen, with all my love, I do commend me to you. And what so poor a man as Hamlet is may do to express his love and friendling to you, God willing, shall not lack. Let us go in together, and still your fingers on your lips, I pray. The time is out of joint. Oh, cursed spite, that ever I was born to set it right.
Alas, my lord.
Oh, no, Ophelia. What's the matter?
My lord, I have been so affrighted.
What in the name of God?
My lord, as I was sewing in my closet, Lord Hamlet, with his doublet all unbraced, no hat upon his head, his stockings fouled, ungartered, and down gyvered to his ankle, pale as his shirt, his knees knocking each other, and with a look so piteous in purport, as if he had been loosed out of hell to speak of horrors, he comes before me.
Mad for thy love?
My lord, I do not know, but truly I do fear it.
What said he?
He took me by the wrist and held me hard. Then goes he to the length of all his arm, and with his other hand, thus, o'er his brow, he falls to such perusal of my face as he would draw it. Long stayed he so. At last, a little shaking of mine arm, and thrice his head thus, waving up and down, he raised a sigh so piteous and profound as it did seem to shatter all his bulk and end his being. That done, he lets me go. And with his head over his shoulder turned, he seemed to find his way without his eyes, for out of doors he went without their help, and to the last bended their light on me.
Come, go with me. I'll go seek the king. But this is the very ecstasy of love, whose violent property foredoes itself and leads the will to desperate undertakings. What? Have you given him any hard words of late?
No, my good lord. But as you did command, I did repel his letters and denied his access to me.
That has made him mad. I'm sorry that with better heed and judgment I had not quitted him. Come, go we to the king.
Welcome, dear Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Moreover, that we much did long to see you, the need we have to use you did provoke our hasty sending. Something have you heard of Hamlet's transformation? so call it, sith nor the exterior nor the inward man resembled that it was. What it should be, more than his father's death, that thus hath put him so much from the understanding of himself, I cannot dream of. I entreat you both to draw him on to pleasures, and to gather so much as from occasion you may glean, whether aught to us unknown afflicts him thus, that open lies within our remedy.
Good gentlemen, he hath much talked of you, and sure I am two men there are not living to whom he more adheres. If it will please you to show us so much gentry and goodwill as to expend your time with us a while for the supply and profit of our hope, your visitation shall receive such thanks as fits a king's remembrance.
Both your majesties might, by the sovereign power you have of us, put your dread pleasures more into command than to entreaty.
But we both obey, and here give up ourselves in the full bent to lay our service freely at your feet, to be commanded.
Thanks, Rosencrantz and gentle Guildenstern.
Thanks, Guildenstern and gentle Rosencrantz. And I beseech you, instantly to visit my too much changed son. Go, some of you, and bring these gentlemen where Hamlet is.
My lady.
Heavens make our presence and our practices pleasant and helpful to him.
Aye. Amen.
My dear Gertrude, Lord Polonius tells me he hath found the head and source of all your son's distemper.
I doubt it is no other but the main. His father's death and our or hasty marriage.
Well, we shall sift him. My lord Polonius!
My good lord, and I do think, or else this brain of mine hunts not the trail of policy so sure as it hath used to do, that I have found the very cause of Hamlet's lunacy.
Oh, speak of that. That do I long to hear.
My liege and madam, to expostulate what majesty should be, what duty is, why day is day, night night, and time is time, were nothing but to waste night, day, and time. Therefore, for brevity is the soul of wit, and tediousness the limbs and outward flourishes, I will be brief. Your noble son is mad. Mad call I it, for to define true madness, what is't but to be nothing else but mad? But let that go.
More matter with less art.
Madam, I swear I use no art at all. That he is mad, 'tis true. 'Tis true, 'tis pity, and pity 'tis true. A foolish figure. But farewell it, for I will use no art. Mad, let us grant him then. And now remains that we find out the cause of this defect, for this effect defective comes by cause. Thus it remains, and the remainder thus. Perpend. I have a daughter, have while she is mine, who in her duty and obedience mark hath given me this. Now, gather and surmise. Thus, in her excellent white bosom, these, etc.
Came this from Hamlet to her?
Good madam, stay a while, I will be faithful. Doubt thou the stars are fire, doubt that the sun doth move, doubt truth to be a liar, but never doubt I love. Oh, dear Ophelia, I'm ill at these numbers, I have not art to reckon my groans, but that I love thee best, oh, most best, believe it. Adieu. Thine evermore, most dear lady, whilst this machine is to him, Hamlet. This, in obedience, hath my daughter shown me, and more above, hath his solicitings, as they fell out by time, by means and place, all given to mine ear.
But how hath she received his love?
What do you think of me?
As of a man faithful and honorable?
I would fain prove so. But what might you think when I'd seen this hot love on the wing? As I perceived it, I must tell you that, before my daughter told me. What might you, or my dear majesty, your queen here, think, if I played the desk or table book, or given my heart a winking, mute and dumb, or looked upon this love with idle sight? What might you think? No, I went round to work, and my young mistress thus I did bespeak. Lord Hamlet is a prince out of thy star. This must not be. And then I prescripts gave her that she should lock herself from his resort, admit no messengers, receive no tokens. Which done, she took the fruits of my advice. When he repelled, a short tale to make, fell into a sadness, then into a fast, thence to a watch, thence into a weakness, thence to a lightness, and by this declension into the madness wherein now he raves and all we mourn for.
Do you think 'tis this?
It may be, very likely.
Had there been such a time, I'd fain know that. that I have positively said 'tis so, when it proved otherwise?
Not that I know.
Take this from this, if this be otherwise. If circumstances lead me, I will find where truth is hid, though it were hid indeed within the center.
How may we try it further?
You know, sometimes he walks 4 hours together here in the lobby.
So he does, indeed.
At such a time, I loose my daughter to him. Be you and I behind an arras, then. Mark the encounter. If he love her not, and be not from his reason fallen thereon, let me be no assistant for a state, but keep a farm and carters.
We will try it.
But look where sadly the poor wretch comes reading.
Away? I do beseech you both away. I'll board him presently. Oh, give me leave. How does my good Lord Hamlet?
Well, God have mercy.
Do you know me, my lord?
Excellent, well. You are a fishmonger.
Not I, my lord.
Then I would you were so honest a man.
Honest, my lord?
Aye, sir, to be honest as this world goes is to be one man picked out of 10,000.
That's very true, my lord.
Well, if the sun breed maggots in a dead dog, being a good kissing carrion. Have you a daughter?
I have, my lord.
Let her not walk in the sun. Conception is a blessing, but not as your daughter may conceive. Friend, look to it.
How say you by that? Still harping on my daughter. Yet he knew me not at first. He said I was a fishmonger. He is far gone. And truly in my youth I suffered much extremity for love. Very near this. I'll speak to him again. What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words, words.
What is the matter, my lord?
Between who?
I mean the matter that you read, my lord.
Slanders, sir. For the satirical rogue says here that old men have grey beards, that their faces are wrinkled, and that they have a plentiful lack of wit, together with most weak hams. All which, sir, though I most powerfully and potently believe, yet I hold it not honesty to have it thus set down. For yourself, sir, shall grow old as I am. If like a crab you could go backward.
Though this be madness, yet there is method in't. Will you walk out of the air, my lord?
Into my grave.
Indeed, that's out of the air. How pregnant sometimes his replies are. A happiness that often madness hits on, which reason and sanity could not so prosperously be delivered of. I will leave him and suddenly contrive the means of meeting between him and my daughter. My lord, I will take my leave of you.
You cannot take from me anything that I will more willingly part with all. Except my life. Except my life. Except my life.
Fare you well, my lord.
These tedious old fools.
You've gone to seek the Lord Hamlet. There he is.
Oh, God save you, sir.
My honored lord.
My most dear lord.
My excellent good friends. How dost thou, Guildenstern, our Rosencrantz? Good lads, how do you both?
As the indifferent children of the earth.
Happy in that we are not over happy. On fortune's cap, we are not the very button.
And nor the soles of her shoe.
Neither, my lord.
Then you live about her waist or in the middle of her favours?
Faith, her privates we.
In the secret parts of fortune. Oh, most true. She is a strumpet. What's the news?
None, my lord, but the world's grown honest.
Then is doomsday near. But your news is not true. Let me question more in particular. What of you, my good friends, deserved at the hands of fortune that she sends you to prison hither?
Prison, my lord?
Denmark's a prison.
Oh, then is the world one.
A goodly one, in which there are many confines, wards and dungeons. Denmark being one of the worst.
We think not so, my lord.
Why, then, 'tis none to you. For there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. To me, it is a prison.
Why, then, your ambition makes it one. 'Tis too narrow for your mind.
God, I could be bounded in a nutshell and count myself a king of infinite space, were it not that I have bad dreams.
Which dreams, indeed, are ambition. For the very substance of the ambitious is merely the shadow of a dream.
A dream itself is but a shadow.
Truly. And I hold ambition of so airy and light a quality that it is but a shadow's shadow.
Then are our beggars' bodies, and our monarchs and outstretched heroes, the beggars' shadows. Show me to the court, for by my fay I cannot reason.
We'll wait upon you.
What make you both at Elsinore?
To visit you, my lord, no other occasion.
Were you not sent for? Is it your own inclining? Is it a free visitation? Come, come, deal justly with me. Come, come. Nay, speak!
What should we say, my lord?
Anything but to the purpose. I know the good king and queen have sent for you.
To what end, my lord?
That you must teach me. But let me conjure you, be even and direct with me, whether you were sent for or no.
My lord, we were sent for.
I will tell you why. So shall my anticipation prevent your discovery, and your secrecy to the king and queen moult no feather. I have of late, but wherefore I know not, lost all my mirth, forgone all custom of exercises. And indeed it goes so heavily with my disposition that this goodly frame, the earth, seems to me a sterile promontory. This most excellent canopy, the air, look you, this brave or hanging firmament, this majestical roof fretted with golden fire. Why, it appears no other thing to me than a foul and pestilent congregation of vapors. What a piece of work is a man! How noble in reason! How infinite in faculty, in form and moving, how express and admirable. In action, how like an angel. In apprehension, how like a god. The beauty of the world, the paragon of animals. And yet, to me, what is this quintessence of dust? Man delights not me. No, nor woman neither. Though by your smiling, you seem to say so.
Oh, my lord, there was no such stuff in my thoughts.
Why did you laugh then when I said man delights not me?
To think, my lord, if you delight not in man, what Lenten entertainment the players shall receive from you. We coated them on the way, and hither are they coming to offer you service.
He that plays the king shall be welcome. His majesty shall have tribute of me. What players are they?
Even those you were wont to take such delight in. The tragedians of the city.
There are the players.
Gentlemen, you are welcome to Elsinore. But my uncle, father, and aunt, mother are deceived.
In what, my lord?
I am but mad north-northwest. When the wind is southerly, I know a hawk from a handsaw.
Well, be with you, gentlemen.
Hark you, Guildenstern, and you too, Rosencrantz, at each ear a hearer. That great baby you see there is not yet out of his swaddling clutch.
Happily he is the second time come to them, for they say an old man is twice a child.
Now we'll prophesy. He comes to tell me of the players' market. You say right, sir, a Monday morning to us then indeed.
My lord, I have news to tell you.
My lord, I have news to tell you. When Roscius was an actor in Rome...
The actors are come hither, my lord.
Buzz, buzz.
Upon my honour.
Then came each actor upon his ass.
The best actors in the world. Either for tragedy, comedy, history, pastoral, pastoral comical, historical pastoral, tragical historical, tragical comical historical pastoral, scene indivisible, or poem unlimited. Seneca cannot be too heavy, nor Plautus too light. These are the only men.
Oh, Jephthah, judge of Israel, what a treasure hadst thou.
What a treasure had he, my lord?
Why, one fair daughter and no more, the which he loved passing well.
Still on my daughter.
Am I not in the right, old Jephthah?
If you call me Jephthah, my lord, I have a daughter that I love passing well.
Nay, that follows not.
What follows then, my lord?
Why, as by lot God wot, and then, you know, it came to pass as most like it was... Oh, the first row of the pious chanson will show you more, for look where my abridgment comes. You are welcome, masters, welcome all. I'm glad to see thee well. Welcome, good friends. Oh, old friend. Why, thy face is valiant since I saw thee last. Com'st thou to beard me in Denmark? What, my young lady and mistress? By a lady, your ladyship is nearer to heaven than when I saw you last by the altitude of a shopping. Pray God your voice, like a piece of uncurrent gold, be not cracked within the ring. Masters, you are all welcome. So
We'll into it like French falconers. Fly at anything we see. We'll have a speech straight. Come, give us a taste of your quality. Come, a passionate speech.
What speech, my good lord?
I heard thee speak me a speech once. But it was never acted. Or if it was, not above once. For the play, I remember, Please Not the Million. 'Twas caviar to the general. But it was, as I received it, and others, whose judgment in such matters cried in the top of mine. An excellent play, well digested in the scenes, set down with as much modesty as cunning. One speech in it I chiefly loved. It was Aeneas' tale to Dido, and thereabout of it especially when he speaks of Priam's slaughter. Now, if it live in your memory, begin at this line. Oh, let me see. The rugged Pyrrhus.
He whose sable arms.
Black as his purpose. Did the knight resemble when he lay couched in the ominous horse? Hath now this dread and black complexion smeared with heraldry more dismal head to foot? Now is he total gules, horribly tricked with blood of fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, baked and impasted with the parching streets that lend a tyrannous and a damned light to their lord's murder. Roasted in wrath and fire, and thus sorcised with coagulate gore, with eyes like carbuncles, the hellish Pyrrhus, old grandsire Priam, seeks. So, proceed you.
For God, my lord, well spoken, with good accent and good discretion. Anon, he finds him, striking too short at Greeks, his antique sword rebellious to his arm. Lies where it falls, repugnant to command. Unequal matched, Pyrrhus at Priam drives. In rage strikes wide, but with the whiff and wind of his fell sword, the unnerved father falls. Then senseless Ilium, seeming to feel this blow, with flaming top stoops to his base, and with a hideous crash, takes prisoner Pyrrhus' ear. Follow! His sword, which was declining on the milky head of reverend Priam, seemed in the air to stick. So, as a painted tyrant, Pyrrhus stood. But as we often see against some storm, a silence in the heavens, the rack stands still, the bold wind speechless, and the all below as hush as death. Anon a dreadful thunder doth rend the region. So, after Pyrrhus' pause, a roused vengeance sets him new awork, and never did the Cyclops' hammers fall on Mars's armor forged for proof return with less remorse than Pyrrhus' bleeding sword now falls on Priam.
This is too long.
Shall to the barbers with your beard? Prithee, say on. He's for a jig or a tale of bawdry, or he sleeps. Say on. Come to Hecuba.
But who? Ah, who had seen the Moblet Queen?
The Moblet Queen.
That's good. Moblet Queen is good.
Run barefoot up and down, threatening the flames with bison room. A clout upon that head where late the diadem stood. And for a robe about her lank and all or teemed loins, a blanket in the alarm of fear caught up. Who this had seen, with tongue in venom steeped against fortune's state, would treason have pronounced. But if the gods themselves did see her then, when she saw Pyrrhus make malicious sport in mincing with his sword her husband's limbs, the instant burst of clamor that she made, unless things mortal move them not at all, would have made milch the burning eyes of heaven and passion in the gods.
Look where he has not turned his color and has tears in his eyes. Prithee, no more.
'Tis well. I'll have thee speak out the rest of this soon. Good my lord, will you see the players well bestowed? Do you hear? Let them be well used, for they are the abstract and brief chronicles of the time.
After your death, you had better have a bad epitaph than their ill reports while you live.
My lord, I will use them according to their desert.
God's barrican man much better. Use every man after his desert, and who shall escape whipping? Use them after your own honor and dignity. The less they deserve, the more merit is in your bounty. Take them in.
Come, sirs.
Follow him, friends. We'll hear a play tomorrow. Dost thou hear me, old friend?
My lord.
Can you play The Murder of Gonzago?
Aye, my lord.
We'll have it tomorrow night. You could, for a need, study a speech of some dozen or 16 lines, which I would set down and insert it, could you not?
Aye, my lord.
Very well. Follow that lord and... Look you, mock him not. Good Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. I'll leave you till tonight. You are welcome to Elsinore.
Good, my lord.
Aye, so goodbye to you. Now I am alone. Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I. Is it not monstrous that this player here, but in a fiction, in a dream of passion, could force his soul so to his own conceit that from her working all his visage wand, tears in his eyes, distraction in suspect, a broken voice and his whole function suiting with forms to his conceit. And all for nothing. For Hecuba. What's Hecuba to him, or he to Hecuba, that he should weep for her? What would he do? Had he the motive and the cue for passion that I have? He would drown the stage with tears, and cleave the general ear with horrid speech, make mad the guilty, and appall the free, confound the ignorant, and amaze indeed the very faculties of eyes and ears. Yet I, a dull and muddy-nettled rascal, peak like John o' Dreams, unpregnant of my cause, and can say nothing. No, not for a king, upon whose property and most dear life a damned defeat was made. Am I a coward? Who calls me villain? Breaks my pate across, plucks off my beard and blows it in my face, tweaks me by the nose, gives me the lie of the throat as deep as to the lungs, who does me this, huh? Soon's I should take it, for it cannot be but I am pigeon-livered and lack gall to make oppression bitter, or ere this I should have fatted all the region kites with this slave's awful, bloody, bawdy, villain, remorseless, treacherous, lecherous, kindless villain. Oh, vengeance! Am I? This is most brave, that I, the son of a dear father murdered, prompted to my revenge by heaven and hell, must, like a whore, unpack my heart with words and fall a cursing like a very drab, a scullion, firepunt. About my brain. I have heard that guilty creatures sitting at a play have by the very cunning of the scene been struck so to the soul that presently they have proclaimed their malefactions. For murder, though it have no tongue, will speak with most miraculous organ. I'll have these players play something like the murder of my father before mine uncle. I'll observe his looks, I'll tent him to the quick if he but blench. I know my course. The spirit that I have seen may be a devil, and the devil hath power to assume a pleasing shape, yea, and perhaps out of my weakness and my melancholy, as he is very potent with such spirits, abuses me to damn me. I'll have grounds more relative than this. The play's the thing wherein I'll catch the conscience
of the king.
And can you, by no drift of conference, get from him why he puts on this confusion? Grating so harshly all his days of quiet with turbulent and dangerous lunacy.
He does confess he feels himself distracted, but from what cause he will by no means speak.
Nor do we find him forward to be sounded, but with a crafty madness keeps aloof when we would bring him on to some confession of his true state.
Did he receive you well?
Most like a gentleman.
But with much forcing of his disposition.
Niggard of question, but of our demands most free in his reply.
Did you assay him to any pastime?
Madam, it so fell out that certain players we o'er wrought on the way, of these we told him, and there did seem in him a kind of joy to hear of it.
Oh.
They are here about the court, and as I think, they have already ordered this knight to play before him.
'Tis most true, and he beseeched me to entreat your majesties to hear and see the matter.
With all my heart, and it doth much content me to hear him so inclined. Good gentlemen, give him a further edge. And drive his purpose into these delights.
We shall, my lord.
My lord.
Sweet Gertrude, leave us too. For we have closely sent for Hamlet hither, that he, as 'twere by accident, may hear affront Ophelia. Her father and myself, lawful espials, we'll so bestow ourselves that seeing unseen, we may of their encounter frankly judge, and gather by him, as he is behaved, if it be the affliction of his love, or no, that thus he suffers for.
I shall obey you. And for your part, Ophelia, I do wish that your good beauties be the happy cause of Hamlet's wildness. So shall I hope your virtues will bring him to his wonted way again, to both your honours.
Madam, I wish it may.
Ophelia, walk you here. Gracious, so please you, we will bestow ourselves. Read on this book. That show of such an exercise may colour your loneliness. We are oft to blame in this. 'Tis too much proved that with devotion's visage and pious action we do sugar o'er the devil himself.
Oh, 'tis too true. How smart a lash that speech doth give my conscience. The harlot's cheek, beauted with plastering art, is not more ugly to the thing that helps it than is my deed to my most painted word. Oh, heavy burden.
I hear him coming. Let's withdraw, my lord.
To be or not to be? That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing, end them. To die, to sleep, no more. And by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, 'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die, to sleep. Perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare bodkin? Who would fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death? The undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveller returns puzzles the will and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Thus conscience does make cowards of us all, and thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied o'er with the pale cast of thought, and enterprises of great pith and moment with this regard their currents turn awry, and lose the name of action. Soft, Juno. The fair Ophelia. Nymph, in thy orisons be all my sins remembered.
Good, my lord. How does your honour for this many a day?
I humbly thank you. Well, well, well.
My lord, I have remembrances of yours that I have long to re-deliver. I pray you now receive them.
No, not I. I never gave you aught.
My honoured lord, you know right well you did. And with them, words of so sweet breath composed as made these things more rich. Their perfume lost, take these again. For to the noble mind rich gifts wax poor when givers prove unkind. There, my lord.
Are you honest?
My lord.
Are you fair?
What means your lordship?
That if you be honest and fair, your honesty should admit no discourse to your beauty.
Could beauty, my lord, have better converse than with honesty?
Aye, truly. For the power of beauty will sooner transform honesty from what it is to a bawd than the force of honesty can translate beauty into his likeness. This was sometime a paradox, but now the time gives it proof. I did love you once.
Indeed, my lord, you made me believe so.
You should not have believed me. For virtue cannot so inoculate our old stock, but we shall relish of it. I loved you not.
I was the more deceived.
Get thee to a nunnery. Why wouldst thou be a breeder of sinners? I am myself indifferent honest, yet I could accuse me of such things it were better my mother had not borne me. I'm very proud, revengeful, ambitious, with more offences at my beck than I have thoughts to put them in, imagination to give them shape, or time to act them in. What should such fellows as I do, crawling between heaven and earth? We are arrant knaves, all, believe none of us. Go thy ways to a nunnery. Where's your father?
At home, my lord.
Let the doors be shut upon him, that he may play the fool no-ever in his own house. Farewell.
Oh, help him, you sweet heaven.
If thou dost marry, I'll give thee this plague for thy dowry. Be thou as chaste as ice, as pure as snow, thou shalt not escape calumny. Get thee to a nunnery. Farewell. Or if thou wilt needs marry, marry a fool. For wise men know well enough what monsters you make of them. To a nunnery go, and quickly too. Farewell.
Oh, heavenly powers, restore him.
I have heard of your paintings too well enough. God hath given you one face, and you make yourselves another. You jig, you amble, and you lisp, and nickname God's creatures, and make your wantonness your ignorance. Go to, I'll no more haunt. It hath made me mad. I say, we will have no more marriages. Those that are married already, all but one, shall live. The rest shall keep as they are. To a nunnery, go.
Oh, what a noble mind is here o'erthroned. Courtiers, soldiers, scholars, eye, tongue, sword, the expectancy and rose of the fair state, the glass of fashion and the mould of form, the observed of all observers, quite down, and I, of ladies most deject and wretched, that sucked the honey of his music vows, now see that noble and most sovereign reason, like sweet bells jangled out of tune and harsh, that unmatched form and feature of blown youth blasted with ecstasy. Oh, is me to have seen what I have seen. See what I see.
Love. His affections do not that way tend, nor what he spake, though it lacked form a little, was not like madness. There's something in his soul, o'er which his melancholy sits on brood, and I do doubt the hatch and the disclose would be some danger, which, for to prevent, I have in quick determination thus set it down. He shall with speed to England for the demand of our neglected tribute. Haply the seas and countries different, with variable objects, shall expel this something settled matter in his heart, whereon his brains, still beating, puts him thus from fashion of himself. What think you want?
It shall do well. But yet do I believe the origin and commencement of his grief sprung from neglected love. Oh, no, Ophelia, you need not tell us what Lord Hamlet said. We heard it all. My lord, do as you please, but if you hold it fit, after the play, let his queen mother all alone entreat him to show his grief. Let her be round with him, and I be placed so please you in the ear of all their conference. If she find him not, to England send him, or confine him where your wisdom best shall think.
It shall be so. Madness in great ones must not unwatched go.
Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounced it to you, trippingly on the tongue. But if you mouth it, as many of our players do, I had as lief the town crier spoke my lines. Nor do not saw the air too much with your hand, thus, but use all gently. For in the very torrent, tempest, and as I may say, whirlwind of your passion, you must acquire and beget a temperance that may give it smoothness. Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-pated fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise. I would have such a fellow whipped for o'erdoing termagants. It out Herod's Herod. Pray you avoid it.
I warrant, Your Honor.
Be not too tame, neither, but let your own discretion be your tutor. Suit the action to the word to the action, with this special observance, that you o'erstep not the modesty of nature. For anything so o'erdone is from the purpose of playing, whose end, both at the first and now, was and is, to hold, as 'twere, the mirror up to nature, to show virtue her own feature, scorn her own image, and the very age and body of the time his form and pressure. Now, this overdone, or come tardy off, though it make the unskillful laugh, cannot but make the judicious grieve. The censure of which one must in your allowance o'erweigh a whole theatre of others. Oh, there be players that I have seen have so strutted and bellowed that I have thought some of nature's journeymen had made them and not made them well. They imitated humanity so abominably.
I hope we have reformed that indifferently with us.
Oh, reform it altogether. And let those that play your clowns speak no more than is set down for them. For there be of them that will themselves laugh to set on some quantity of barren spectators to laugh too. Though in the meantime, some necessary question of the play be then to be considered. That's villainous, and shows a most pitiful ambition in the fool that uses it. Go, make you ready.
My lord.
How now, my lord? Will the king hear this piece of work?
And the queen, too, and that presently.
I'll bid the players make haste.
My lord.
Will you two help to hasten them?
My lord.
My lord.
What ho, Horatio.
Here, sweet lord, at your service.
Horatio. Thou art e'en as just a man as e'er my conversation coped withal.
Oh, my dear lord.
Nay, do not think I flatter. For what advancement may I hope from thee that no revenue hast but thy good spirits to feed and clothe thee? Why should the poor be flattered? No, let the candid tongue lick absurd pomp and crook the pregnant hinges of the knee where thrift may follow fawning. Dost thou hear? Since my dear soul was mistress of her choice and could of men distinguish, her election hath sealed thee for herself. For thou hast been as one in suffering all that suffers nothing. A man that fortune's buffets and rewards has ta'en with equal thanks. And blessed are those whose blood and judgment are so well commingled that they are not a pipe for fortune's finger to sound what stop she please. Give me that man that is not passion's slave, and I will wear him in my heart's core, aye, in my heart of heart, as I do thee. Now, something too much of this. There is a play tonight before the king. One scene of it comes near the circumstance which I have told thee of my father's death. I prithee, when thou seest that act afoot, even with the very comment of thy soul, observe my uncle. If his occulted guilt do not itself unkennel at one speech, it is a damned ghost that we have seen, and my imaginations are as foul as Vulcan's stithy. Give him heedful note, for I, mine eyes, will rivet to his face, and after we will both our judgments join in censure of his seeming.
Well, my lord, if he steal aught the whilst this play is playing and scape detecting, I will pay the theft.
They are coming to the play. I must be idle. Get you a place.
My lord.
Ah,
How fares our cousin Hamlet?
Excellent, i'faith, of the chameleon's dish. I eat the air, promise grand. You cannot feed capon so.
I have nothing with this answer, Hamlet. These words are not mine.
No, not mine now. My lord Polonius, you played once in the university, you say?
That did I, my lord, and was accounted a good actor.
What did you enact?
I did enact Julius Caesar. I was killed in the Capitol. Brutus killed me.
It was a brute part of him to kill so capital a calf there.
Keep the players ready.
Aye, my lord, they stay upon your patience.
Come hither, my dear Hamlet. Sit by me.
No, good mother. Here's metal more attractive.
Oh, you mark that? My daughter.
Lady, shall I lie in your lap?
No, my lord.
I mean my head upon your lap.
Aye, my lord.
Do you think I meant country matters?
I think nothing, my lord.
There's a fair thought to lie between maid's legs.
What is, my lord?
Nothing.
You are merry, my lord.
Who, I?
I, my lord.
Oh, God, you're only jig-maker. What should a man do but be merry? For look you how cheerfully my mother looks, and my father died within 2 hours.
Nay, it is twice 2 months, my lord.
So long. Nay, then, let the devil wear black, for I'll have a suit of sables. Oh, heavens, die 2 months ago and not forgotten yet. Then there's hope a great man's memory may outlive his life, half a year. But by a lady he must build churches then, or else shall he suffer not thinking on with the hobby horse, whose epitaph is, for oh, the hobby horse is forgot.
For us, and for our tragedy, here stooping to your clemency, we beg your hearing patience.
This is a prologue of the posy of a ring.
It is brief, my lord.
As woman's love.
Full 30 times hath Phoebus' cart gone round Neptune's salt wash and Tellus' orbit ground, and 30 dozen moons with borrowed sheen about the world have times 12 thirties been. Since love our hearts, and hymen did our hands unite commutual in most sacred bands.
So many journeys may the sun and moon make us again count o'er, ere love be done. But woe is me, you are so sick of late, so far from cheer and from your former state, that I distrust you. Yet though I distrust, discomfort you, my lord, it nothing must. For women's fear and love hold quantity, in neither aught or in extremity. Now what my love is, proof hath made you know, and as my love is sized, my fear is so. Where love is great, the littlest doubts are fear. Where little fears grow great, great love grows there.
Faith, I must leave thee, love, and shortly too. My operant powers their functions leave to do, and thou shalt live in this fair world behind, honored, beloved, and haply one as kind for husband shalt thou.
Oh, confound the rest! Such love must needs be treason in my breast. In second husband let me be accursed. None wed the second but who killed the first.
Wormwood.
The instances that second marriage move are base respects of thrift, but none of love. A second time I kill my husband dead, when second husband kisses me in bed.
I do believe you think what now you speak, but what we do determine, oft we break. Purpose is but the slave to memory, of violent birth but poor validity. What to ourselves in passion we propose, the passion ending doth the purpose lose. And our devices still are overthrown, our thoughts are ours, their ends none of our own. So think thou wilt no second husband wed, but die thy thoughts when thy first lord is dead.
Nor earth to me give food, nor heaven light. Sport and repose lock from me day and night. To desperation turn my trust and hope, and anchor's cheer in prison be my scope. Each opposite that blanks the face of joy, meet what I would have well, and it destroy. Both here and hence pursue me lasting strife. If once a widow, ever I be wife.
If she should break it now.
'Tis deeply sworn. Sweet, leave me here a while. My spirits grow dull, and fain I would beguile the tedious day with sleep.
Sleep, rock thy brain, and never come mischance between us twain.
Madam, how like you this play?
The lady doth protest too much, we think.
Oh, but she'll keep her word.
Have you heard the argument? Is there no offence in it?
No, no, they do but jest. Poison in jest. No offence of the world.
What do you call the play?
The Mousetrap. Marry how? Tropically, this play is the image of a murder done in Vienna. Gonzaga is the Duke's name, his wife, Batista. You shall see anon. 'Tis a knavish piece of work. But what of that? Your Majesty and we that have free souls, it touches us not. Let the Gauls, jade winds, our withers are unwrung. This is one Lucianus, nephew to the king.
You are as good as a chorus, my lord.
I could interpret between you and your love if I could see the puppets dallying.
You are keen, my lord, you are keen.
It would cost you a groaning to take off mine edge.
Still better and worse.
So you mistake your husband's. Begin, murderer, Poxley, thy damnable faces, and begin. Come, the croaking raven doth bellow for revenge.
Thoughts black, hands apt, drugs fit and time agreeing. Confederate season, else no creature seeing. Thou mixture rank of midnight weeds collected, with Hecate's ban thrice blasted, thrice infected. Thy natural magic and dire property, unwholesome life, usurps immediately.
He poisons him in the garden for his estate. His name's Gonzago, the story's extant, and written in very choice Italian. You shall see anon how the murderer gets the love of Gonzago's wife. What? Frighted with false fire?
How fares, my lord?
Give o'er the play.
Give me some light!
Light! Light! Light!
Why? Let the stricken deer go weep, the heart and gall it play, for some must watch while some must sleep. Thus runs the world away. Would not this, sir, in a forest of feathers, if the rest of my fortunes turn Turk with me, with provincial roses on my raised shoes, get me a fellowship and a cry of players?
Half a share.
A whole one, aye. For thou dost know, O Damon dear, this realm dismantled was by Jove himself, and now reigns here a very, very paid jock.
You might have rhymed.
Oh, good, Horatio, I'll take the ghost's word for £1,000. Didst perceive?
Very well, my lord.
Upon the talk of poisoning.
I did very well note him.
Aha. Oh, come, some music. Come, the recorders. For if the king like not the comedy, why then, belike, he likes it not, Purdy. Come, some music.
Good, my lord, vouchsafe me a word with you.
Sir, a whole history.
The king, sir.
Aye, sir. What of him?
Is in his retirement marvellous distempered.
With drink, sir.
And no, my lord, with choler.
Your wisdom should show itself more richer to signify this to the doctor, for me to put him to his purgation would perhaps plunge him into more choler.
Good, my lord, put your discourse into some frame and start not so wildly from my affair.
I am tame, sir. Pronounce.
The queen, your mother, in most great affliction of spirit, hath sent me to you.
You're welcome.
Nay, good, my lord, this courtesy is not of the right breed. If it shall please you to make a wholesome answer, I will do your mother's commandment. If not, your pardon, and my return shall be the end of my business.
Sir, I cannot.
What, my lord?
Make you a wholesome answer. My wits diseased. But, sir, such answer as I can make you shall command, or rather, as you say, my mother. Therefore, no more but to the matter. My mother, you say?
Then thus, she says, your behaviour hath struck her into amazement and admiration.
Oh, wonderful son that can so astonish a mother! But is there no sequel at the heels of this mother's admiration impart?
She desires to speak with you in her closet ere you go to bed.
We shall obey. Were she 10 times our mother. Have you any further trade with us?
My lord, you once did love me.
And do still by these pickers and stealers.
Good my lord, what is your cause of distemper? You do surely bar the door upon your own liberty if you deny your griefs to your friend.
Sir, I lack advancement.
Oh, how can that be? when you have the voice of the king himself for your succession in Denmark.
Aye, sir, but while the grass grows, the proverb is something musty. Ah, the recorders. Let me see one. To withdraw with you, why do you go about to recover the wind of me as if you would drive me into a toil?
Oh, my lord, if my duty be too bold, my love is too unmannerly.
I do not well understand that. Will you play upon this pipe?
My lord, I cannot.
I pray you.
Believe me, I cannot.
I beseech you.
I know no touch of it, my lord.
It is as easy as lying. Govern these vintages with your finger and thumbs, give it breath with your mouth, and it will discourse most eloquent music. Look you, these are the stops.
But these cannot I command to any utterance of harmony. I have not the skill.
Why? Look you, now how unworthy a thing you make of me. You would play upon me. You would seem to know my stops. You would pluck out the heart of my mystery. You would sound me from the lowest note to the top of my compass. And there is much music, excellent voice in this little organ, yet cannot you make it speak? S'blood, you think I am easier to be played on than a pipe? Call me what instrument you will, though you can fret me, yet you cannot play upon me.
My lord!
Oh, God bless you, sir!
My lord, the queen would speak with you, and presently...
Do you see yonder cloud that's almost in shape of a camel?
By the mass, and it is like a camel indeed.
Methinks it is like a weasel.
It is backed like a weasel.
Or like a whale.
Very like a whale.
Then I will come to my mother by and by. They fool me to the top of my bent. I will come by and by.
I will say so.
By and by is easily said. Leave me, my friends. Churchyards yawn and hell itself breathes out contagion to this world. Now could I drink hot blood and do such bitter business as the day would quake to look on. Soft. Now to my mother. O heart, lose not thy nature. Let not ever the soul of Nero enter this firm bosom. Let me be cruel, not unnatural. I will speak daggers to her, but use none. My tongue and soul in this be hypocrites. How in my words soever she be shent, to give them seals, never my soul consent.
Oh, my offense is rank. It smells to heaven. It hath the primal eldest curse upon it, a brother's murder. Pray can I not, though inclination be as sharp as will. My stronger guilt defeats my strong intent, and like a man to double business bound, I stand in pause where I shall first begin, and both neglect. What if this cursed hand were thicker than itself with brother's blood? Is there not rain enough in the sweet heavens to wash it white as snow? Whereto serves mercy but to confront the visage of offense? And what's in prayer but this twofold force? To be forestalled ere we come to fall, or pardoned being done? Then I'll look up. My fault is past. But oh, what form of prayer can serve my turn? Forgive me my foul murder? That cannot be, since I am still possessed of those effects for which I did the murder. My crown, my known ambition, and my queen. May one be pardoned and retain the offense? In the corrupted currents of this world, offense's gilded hand may shove by justice, an and oft is seen the wicked prize itself buys out the law. But 'tis not so above. There is no shuffling. There the action lies in his true nature, and we ourselves compelled even to the teeth and forehead of our faults to give in evidence. What then? What rests? Try what repentance can. What can it not? And yet what can it when one cannot repent? Oh, wretched state. Oh, bosom black as death. Oh, limed soul, that struggling to be free art more engaged. Help, angels. Make us say. Bow, stubborn knees, and heart with strings of steel, be soft as sinews of the newborn babe. All may be well.
Now might I do it, Pat. Now he is a-praying, and now I'll do it. And so he goes to heaven. And so, am I avenged? That would be scanned. A villain kills my father, and for that I, his sole son, do this same villain send to heaven. Oh, this is hire and salary, not revenge. He took my father grossly, full of bread, with all his crimes, broad blown as flush as May, and how his audit stands, who knows, save heaven. But in our circumstance and course of thought, 'tis heavy with him. And am I then revenged to take him in the purging of his soul when he is fit and seasoned for his passage? No. Up, sword. And know thou a more hurried hint when he is drunk, asleep, or in his rage, or in the incestuous pleasure of his bed. At gaming, swearing, or about some act that has no relish of salvation in it, then trip him, that his heels may kick at heaven, and that his soul may be as damned and black as hell whereto it goes. My mother stays. This physic but prolongs thy sickly days.
My words fly up. My thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go.
He will come straight. Look, you lay home to him. Tell him his pranks have been too broad to bear with, and that your grace hath screened and stood between much heat and him. I'll silence me even here. I pray you, be round with him.
I'll warrant you. Fear me not.
Mother!
Withdraw. I hear him coming.
Mother! Mother!
Now, mother, what's the matter?
Hamlet, thou hast thy father much offended.
Mother, you have my father much offended.
Come, come, you answer with an idle tongue.
Go, go, you question with a wicked tongue.
Why, no, Hamlet.
What's the matter now?
Have you forgot me?
No, by the rood, not so. You are the queen, your husband's brother's wife. And, would it were not so, you are my mother.
Nay, then I'll set those to you that can speak.
Come, come, and sit you down. You shall not budge. You go not till I set you up a glass where you may see the inmost part of you.
What wilt thou do? Thou wilt not murder me? Help!
Help! Help! Help! Help! All right! Dead! For a ducat! Dead!
Oh, I am slain.
Oh, me! What hast thou done?
There, no, not... Is it the king?
Oh, what a rash and bloody deed is this?
A bloody deed! Almost as bad, good mother, as kill a king and marry with his brother.
As kill a king?
Aye, lady, it was my word. Oh, wretched, rash, intruding fool. Farewell. I took thee for thy better. Take thy fortune. Thou find'st to be too busy is some danger. Leave wringing of your hands. Peace, sit you down. And let me wring your heart, for so I shall, if it be made of penetrable stuff, if damned custom have not brazed it so that it be proof and bulwark against sense.
What have I done that thou darest wag thy tongue in noise so rude against me?
Such an act that blurs the grace and blush of modesty, calls virtue hypocrite, takes off the rose from the fair forehead of an innocent love and sets a blister there, makes marriage vows as false as dice's oaths. Oh, such a deed, as from the body of contraction plucks the very soul, and sweet religion makes a rhapsody of words. Heaven's face does glow o'er this solidity and compound mass with tristful visage, as against the doom is thought sick at the act.
Ay me, what act that roars so loud and thunders in the index?
Look here, upon this picture, and on this. The counterfeit presentment of two brothers. See what a grace was seated on this brow. Hyperion's curls, the front of Jove himself, an eye like Mars to threaten and command, a station like the herald Mercury new lighted on a heaven-kissing hill, a combination and a form, indeed, where every god did seem to set his seal to give the world assurance of a man. This was your husband. Look you now, what follows? Here is your husband, like a mildewed ear, blasting his wholesome brother. Have you eyes? Could you on this fair mountain leave to feed and batten on this moor? Huh? Have you eyes? You cannot call it love. For at your age, the heyday in the blood is tame. It's humble and waits upon the judgment. And what judgment would step from this to this? Sense, sure, you have. Else could you not have motion. But sure, that sense is apoplex. For madness would not err, nor sense to ecstasy were ne'er so thralled, but it reserved some quantity of choice to serve in such a difference. What devil was't that thus hath cozened you at Hoodman Blind? Eyes without feeling, feeling without sight, ears without hands or eyes, smelling sans all, or but a sickly part of one true sense could not so mote. Oh, shame! Where is thy blush? Rebellious hell, if thou canst mutin in a matron's bones, to flaming youth let virtue be as wax and melt in her own fire. Proclaim no shame when the compulsive ardor gives the charge, since frost itself as actively doth burn and reason panders will.
Oh, Hamlet, speak no more! Thou turnst mine eyes into my very soul, and there I see such black and grained spots as will not leave their teeth.
Nay, but to live in the rank sweat of an inseamed bed, stewed in corruption, honeying and making love over the nasty stuff.
Oh, speak to me no more. These words like daggers enter in my ears. No more, sweet Hamlet.
A murderer and a villain. No. A slave that is not 20th part the tithe of your precedent lord.
No.
A vice of kings. A cut-purse of the empire and the rule. That from a shelf the precious diadem stole and put it in his pocket.
No more!
A king of shreds and patches! Save me and hover o'er me with your wings, you heavenly guards. What would your gracious figure?
Alas, he's mad.
Do you not come, your tardy son, to chide, that lapsed in time and passion lets go by the important acting of your dread command? Oh, say.
Do not forget. This visitation is but to whet thy almost blunted purpose. But look, amazement on thy mother sits. Oh, step between her and her fighting soul. Conceit in weakest bodies, strongest works. Speak to her, Hamlet.
How is it with you, lady?
Alas, how is't with you that you do bend your eye on vacancy? And with the incorporeal air to hold discourse. For that your eyes, your spirits wildly peep, and as the sleeping soldiers in the alarm, your bedded hair, like life in excrements, starts up and stands on end. O gentle sun, upon the heat and flame of thy distemper, sprinkle cool patience. Whereon do you look?
On him, on him! Look you, how pale he glares. His form and cause conjoined, preaching to stones, would make him capable. Do not look upon me, lest with this piteous action you convert my stern effects. Then what I have to do will want true color. Tears, perchance, for blood.
To whom do you speak this?
Do you see nothing there?
Nothing at all. Yet all there is, I see.
Nor did you nothing here?
No, nothing but ourselves.
Why, look you, there. Look how it steals away. My father, in his habit as he lives. Look where he goes, even now, out of the portal.
This is the very coinage of your brain. This bodiless creation. Ecstasy is very cunning in...
Ecstasy? My pulse, as yours, doth temperately keep time and makes us healthful music. It is not madness that I have uttered. Bring me to the test, and either matter will reword which madness would gamble from. Mother, for the love of grace, lay not that flattering unction to your soul that not your trespass but my madness speaks. It will but skin and film the ulcerous place, whilst rank corruption mining all within infects unseen. Confess yourself to heaven. Repent what's past. Avoid what is to come. And do not spread the compost on the weeds to make them ranker. Forgive me this, my virtue. For in the fatness of these pursy times, virtue itself for vice must pardon beg. Yes, curb and woo for leave to do his good.
Oh, Hamlet, thou hast cleft my heart in twain.
Oh, throw away the worser part of it. And live the purer with the other half. Good night. But go not to my uncle's bed. Assume a virtue, if you have it not. That monster, custom, who all sense doth eat of habits evil, is angel yet in this, that to the use of actions fair and good, he likewise gives a frock or livery that aptly is put on. Refrain tonight, and that shall lend a kind of easiness to the next abstinence, the next more easy, for use almost can change the stamp of nature, and either master the devil, or throw him out with wondrous potency. Once more, good night, and when you are desirous to be blessed, I'll blessing beg of you. For this same Lord, I do repent, but heaven hath pleased it so to punish me with this and this with me, that I must be their scourge and minister. I will bestow him, and will answer well the death I gave him. So again, good night. I must be cruel only to be kind. Thus bad begins, and worse remains behind. One word more, good lady.
What shall I do?
Not this by no means that I bid you do. Let the bloat king tempt you again to bed, pinch wanton on your cheek, call you his mouse, and let him for a pair of reachy kisses or paddling in your neck with his damned fingers make you to ravel all this matter out, that I essentially am not in madness, but mad in craft. To a good you let him know. For who that's but a queen, fair, sober, wise, would from a paddock, from a bat, a jib, such dear concernings hide, who would do so? No, in despite of sense and secrecy, unpeg the basket on the house's top, let the birds fly, and like the famous ape, to try conclusions, in the basket creep and break your own neck down.
Be thou assured, if words be made of breath, and breath of life, I have no life to breathe what thou hast said to me.
I must to England. You know that.
Alack, I had forgot. 'Tis so concluded on.
There's letters sealed. And my two schoolfellows, whom I will trust as I will adders fanged, they bear the mandate. They must sweep my way and marshal me to knavery. Let it work. For 'tis the sport to have the engineer hoist with his own petar, and it shall go hard, but I will delve 1 yard below their minds and blow them at the moon. Oh, 'tis most sweet when in one line 2 crafts directly meet. This man shall set me packing. I'll lug the guts into the neighbor room. Mother, good night indeed. This counselor is now most still, most secret, and most grave, who was in life a foolish, prating knave. Come, sir, to draw toward an end with you. Good night, mother.
There's matter in his sighs, his profound heaves. You must translate. 'Tis fit we understand them. Where is your son?
Bestow this place on us a little while.
Madam, my lady.
Oh, mine own lord. What have I seen tonight?
What, Gertrude? How does Hamlet?
Mad as the sea and wind, when both contend which is the mightier. In his lawless fit, behind the arras, hearing something stir, whips out his rapier, cries, a rat, a rat! And in this brainish apprehension, kills the unseen good old man.
Oh, heavy deed. It had been so with us, had we been there. His liberty is full of threats to all, to you yourself, to us, to everyone. Alas, how shall this bloody deed be answered? It will be laid to us, whose providence should have kept short, restrained, and out of haunt this mad young man. But so much was our love, we would not understand what was most fit. But like the owners of a foul disease, to keep it from divulging, let it feed even on the pith of life. Where is he gone?
To draw apart the body he hath killed, or whom his very madness, like some ore among a mineral of metals base, shows itself pure. He weeps for what is done.
Oh, Gertrude, come away. The sun no sooner shall the mountains touch, but we will ship him hence. And this vile deed we must, with all our majesty and skill, both countenance and excuse. Ho, Rosencrantz! Guildenstern, ho!
My lord, my lord.
Friends both, go join you with some further aid. Hamlet in madness hath Polonius slain, and from his mother's closet hath he dragged him. Go seek him out. Speak fair, and bring the body into the chapel. I pray you haste in this.
Aye, my lord.
Come, Gertrude. We'll call up our wisest friends and let them know both what we mean to do and what's untimely done. So haply, slander, whose whisper o'er the world's diameter, as level as the cannon to his blank, transports his poison shot, may miss our name and hit the woundless air. Oh, come away. My soul is full of discord and dismay.
Safely stowed.
Hamlet!
What soft, what
Hamlet!
Noise? Who calls on Hamlet? Oh, here they come.
What have you done, my lord, with the dead body?
Compounded it with dust, where 'tis kin.
Tell us where 'tis, that we may take it thence and bear it to the chapel.
Do not believe it.
Believe what?
That I can keep your counsel and not mine own. Besides, to be demanded of a sponge, what replication should be made by the son of a king?
Take you me for a sponge, my lord?
Aye, sir. That soaks up the king's countenance, his rewards, his authorities. When he needs what you have gleaned, it is but squeezing you, and sponge. You shall be dry again.
My lord, you must tell us where the body is and go with us to the king.
The body is with the king, but the king is not with the body. The king is a thing.
A thing, my lord?
Of nothing. Bring me to him. Hide, fox, and all after.
My lord! My lord!
I have sent to seek him and to find the body. How dangerous is it that this man goes loose? Yet must not we put the strong law on him? He's loved of the distracted multitude who like not in their judgment but their eyes. And where 'tis so, the offender's scourge is weighed, but never the offence. To bear all smooth and even, this sudden sending him away must seem deliberate pause. Diseases desperate grown by desperate appliance are relieved, or not at all.
My lord?
How now? What hath befallen?
My lord, where the dead body is bestowed, we cannot get from him.
But where is he?
Without, my lord, guarded to know your pleasure.
Bring him before us.
Ho, Guildenstern, bring him, my lord.
Now, Hamlet, where's Polonius?
At supper.
At supper. Where?
Not where he eats, but where he is eaten. A certain convocation of politic worms are e'en at him. Your worm is your only emperor for diet. We fat all creatures else to fat us, and we fat ourselves for maggots. Your fat king and your lean beggar is but variable service. Two dishes, but to one table. That's the end.
Alas, alas.
A man may fish with the worm that hath eat of a king, and eat of the fish that hath fed of that worm.
What dost thou mean by this?
Nothing but to show you how a king may go a progress through the guts of a beggar.
Where is Polonius?
In heaven, send thither to see. If your messenger find him not there, seek him in the other place, yourself. But if indeed you find him not within this month, you shall nose him as you go up the stairs into the lobby.
Go seek him there.
My lord. He will stay till you come.
Hamlet, this deed, for thine especial safety, which we do tender as we dearly grieve for that which thou hast done, must send thee hence with fiery quickness. Therefore prepare thyself. The bark is ready and the wind at help. The associates tend, and everything is bent for England.
For England?
Aye, Hamlet.
Good.
So is it, if thou knewest our purposes.
I see a cherub that sees them. But come, for England. Farewell, dear mother.
Thy loving father, Hamlet.
My mother. Father and mother is man and wife. Man and wife is one flesh, and so, my mother. Come, for England.
Follow him at foot, tempt him with speed aboard. Delay it not, I'll have him hence tonight. Away! For everything is sealed and done that else leans on the affair. Pray you make haste.
Aye, my lord.
And England, if my love thou hold'st at aught, as my great power thereof may give thee sense, since yet thy cicatrice looks raw and red after the Danish sword, and thy free oar pays homage to us, thou mayst not coldly set our sovereign process, which imports at full, by letters congruing to that effect, the present death of Hamlet. Do it, England, for like the hectic in my blood he rages, and thou must cure me. Till I know 'tis done, howe'er my haps, my joys are ne'er begun.
Sir, whose powers are these?
They are of Norway, sir.
How purposed, sir, I pray you?
Against some part of Poland.
Who commands them, sir?
The nephew to old Norway, Fortinbras.
Goes it against the main of Poland, sir, or for some frontier?
Truly to speak, and with no addition, we go to gain a little patch of ground that hath in it no profit but the name. To pay 5 ducats. 5, I would not farm it. Nor will it yield to Norway or the Pole a ranker rate should it be sold in fee.
Why, then the Polack never will defend it.
Yes, it is already garrisoned.
2,000 souls and 20,000 ducats will not debate the question of this straw. This is the imposthume of much wealth and peace that inward breaks and shows no cause without. Why the man dies. I humbly thank you, sir.
God be with you, sir.
Well, please you go, my lord.
I'll be with you straight. Go a little before.
My lord.
How all occasions do inform against me and spur my dull revenge. What is a man if his chief good and market of his time be but to sleep and feed? A beast, no more. Sure, he that made us, and with such large discourse looking before and after, gave us not that capability and godlike reason to fust in us unused. Now, where it be bestial oblivion, or some craven scruple of thinking too precisely on the event, a thought which quartered hath but one part wisdom and ever 3 parts coward. I do not know why yet I live to say this things to do, sith I have call and will and strength and means to do it. Examples gross as earth exhort me. Witness this army of such mass and charge, led by a delicate and tender prince, whose spirit with divine ambition puffed makes mouths at the invisible event, exposing what is mortal and unsure to all that fortune, death, and danger dare, even
for an eggshell. Rightly to be great is not to stir without great argument, but greatly to find quarrel in a straw when honor's at the stake. How stand I then, but have a father killed, a mother stained, excitements of my reason and my blood, and let all sleep, while to my shame I see the imminent death of 20,000 men that for a fantasy and trick of fame go to their graves like beds. Fight for a plot whereon the numbers cannot try the cause, which is not tomb enough and continent to hide the slain. Oh, from this time forth, my thoughts be bloody, or be nothing worth.
I will not speak with her.
She is importunate, indeed distract. Her mood will needs be pitied.
What would she have?
She speaks much of her father. Says she hears there's tricks in the world, and hems and beats her heart, spurns enviously at straw, speaks things in doubt that carry but half sense. Her speech is nothing, yet the unshaped use of it doth move the hearers to collection. They aim at it and botch the words up fit to their own thoughts, which as her winks and nods and gestures yield them, indeed would make one think there might be thought, though nothing sure yet much unhappily. 'Twere good she were spoken with, for she may strew dangerous conjectures in ill-breeding minds.
Let her come in.
My lady.
To my sick soul, as sin's true nature is, each toy seems prologue to some great amiss. So full of artless jealousy is guilt, it spills itself in fearing to be spilt.
Where is the beauteous majesty of Denmark?
Oh, no, Ophelia.
How should I your true love know from another one? By his cockle, hat, and staff, and his sandal shoe.
Alas, sweet lady, what imports this song?
Say you, nay, pray you mark. He is dead and gone, lady. He is dead and gone. At his head a grass-green turf, at his heels a stone.
Nay, but Ophelia...
Pray you mark. White his shroud as the mountain snow.
Alas, look here, my lord.
Lauded all with sweet flowers. Flowers which be wept to the grave did not go with true love showers.
How do you, pretty lady?
Well, God illed you. They say the owl was a baker's daughter. Lord, we know what we are, but know not what we may be. God be at your table.
Conceit upon her father.
Pray, let's have no words of this. But when they ask you what it means, say you this. Tomorrow is Saint Valentine's Day, all in the morning betime. And I am made at your window to be your valentine. Then up he rose and donned his clothes and upped the chamber door. Let in the maid, that outer maid never departed more.
Pretty Ophelia.
Indeed, without an oath, I'll make an end on't. By Gis and by Saint Charity, alack and fie for shame. Young men will do it if they come to it by cock, they are to blame. Quoth she, before you tumbled me, you promised me to wed. He answers, so would I had done by yonder sun, and thou hadst not come to my bed.
How long hath she been thus?
I hope all will be well. We must be patient, but I cannot choose but weep to think they would lay him in the cold ground. My brother shall know of it, and so I thank you for your good counsel. Come, my coach. Good night, ladies. Good night, sweet ladies. Good night. Good night.
Follow her close. Give her good watch, I pray.
My lord.
Oh, this is the poison of deep grief.
It springs all from her father's death. And now, behold. Oh, Gertrude, Gertrude, when sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions. First, her father slain. Next, your son gone. And he, most violent author of his own just remove. The people muddied, thick and unwholesome in their thoughts, and whispers for good Polonius' death. And we have done but greenly and hugger-mugger to inter him. Poor Ophelia, divided from herself and her fair judgment. Without the witch, we are pictures, or mere beasts. Last, and as much containing as all these, her brother is in secret come from France, feeds on his wonder, keeps himself in clouds, and wants not buzzers to infect his ear with pestilent speeches of his father's death, wherein necessity of matter beggared, will nothing stick our person to arraign in ear and ear. Oh, my dear Gertrude, this, like to a murdering piece, in many places gives me a superfluous death.
Look, what noise is this?
Attend! Where are my Switzers? Let them guard the door!
My lord!
What is the matter?
Save yourself, my lord. The ocean, overpeering of his list, eats not the flats with more impetuous haste than young Laertes and a riotous head o'erbears your officers. The rabble call him lord. They cry, choose we! Laertes shall be king! Caps, hands, and tongues applaud it to the clouds! Laertes shall be king! Laertes, king!
Oh, cheerfully on the false trail they cry. Oh, this is counter, you false Danish dogs!
The doors are broke!
Oh!
Where is this king?
Laertes?
Oh, the vile king! Give me my father.
Calmly, good Laertes.
That drop of blood that's calm proclaims me bastard, cries cuckold to my father, brands the harlot even here between the chaste, unsmirched brow of my true mother.
What is the cause, Laertes, that thy rebellion looks so giant-like? Let him go, Gertrude. Do not fear our person. There's such divinity doth hedge a king that treason can but peep to what it would. Acts little of his will. Tell me, Laertes, why art thou thus incensed? Let him go, Gertrude. Speak, man.
Where is my father?
Dead.
But not by him.
Let him demand his fill.
How came he dead? I'll not be juggled with. To hell allegiance, vows to the blackest devil, conscience and grace to the profoundest pit. I dare damnation. To this point I stand, that both the worlds I give to negligence. Let come what comes, only I'll be revenged most truly for my father.
Who shall stay you?
My will, not all the world. And for my means I'll husband them so well they shall go far with little.
Good Laertes, if you desire to know the certainty of your dear father, is writ in your revenge that swoop stake you will draw both friend and foe, winner and loser?
None but his enemies.
Will you know them then?
To his good friends. Thus wide I'll ope my arms, and like the kind, life-rendering pelican repass them with my blood.
Why? Now you speak like a good child and a true gentleman, that I am guilty of your father's death and am most sensibly in grief for it. It shall as level to your judgment peer as day does to your eye.
Oh, no, what noise is that?
Let her come in.
They bore him barefaced on the pier. Hey, non, nonny, nonny, hey, nonny. And in his grave rained many a tear. Fare you well, my dove.
Oh, heat, dry up my brains. Tears seven times salt burn out the sense and virtue of mine eye. By heaven, thy madness shall be paid with weight till our scale turn the beam. O Rose of May, dear maid, kind sister, sweet Ophelia. Oh, heavens, is possible a young maid's wit should be as mortal as an old man's life? Hadst thou thy wits and didst persuade revenge, it could not move thus.
You must sing a down, and you call him a downer. Oh, how the wheel becomes it! It is a false steward that stole his master's daughter!
This nothing's more than matter!
There's Rosemary,
That's for remembrance. Pray you love, remember. And there is Pansy's, that's for thoughts.
A document in madness, thoughts and remembrance fitted.
There's fennel for you and columbines. Mm. There's rue for you, and here's some for me. We may call it a herb of grace or Sundays. Oh, you must wear your rue with a difference. There's a daisy. I would give you some violets, but they withered all when my father died. They say he made a good end. Poor Bonnie, sweet Robin.
Thought and afflictions, passion, hell itself she turns to favour and to prettiness.
And will not come again, and will not come again. No, no! He is dead. Go to thy deathbed. He never will come again. His beard was as white as snow. Flaxen was his poll. He is gone, and we cast away moan. God have mercy on his soul. And of all Christian souls, I pray God be with you.
Do you see this?
Laertes, I must commune with your grief, for you deny me right. Go but apart. Make choice of whom your wisest friends you will, and they shall hear and judge twixt you and me. If by direct or by collateral hand they find us touched, we will our kingdom give, our crown, our life, and all that we call ours to you in satisfaction. But if not, be you content to lend your patience to us, and we shall jointly labor with your soul to give it due content.
Let this be so. His means of death, his obscure funeral, no trophy, sword, nor hatchment o'er his bones, no noble rite, nor formal ostentation, cry to be heard as twere from heaven to earth that I must call it in question.
So you shall. And where the offense is, let the great axe fall. I pray you, go with me.
What are they that would speak with me?
Seafaring men, sir. They say they have letters for you.
Let them come in. I do not know from what part of the world I should be greeted, if not from Lord Hamlet.
God bless you, sir.
Let him bless thee, too.
He shall, sir, and please him. There's a letter for you, sir. It came from the ambassador that was bound for England. If your name be Horatio, as I am let to know it is.
Horatio, when thou shalt have overlooked this, give these fellows some means to the king. They have letters for him. Ere we were 2 days old at sea, a pirate of very warlike appointment gave us chase. Finding ourselves too slow of sail, we put on a compelled valor, and in the grapple I boarded them. On the instant they got clear of our ship, so I alone became their prisoner. They have dealt with me like thieves of mercy, but they knew what they did. I am to do a good turn for them. Let the king have the letters I have sent, and repair thou to me with as much speed as thou wouldst fly death. I have words to speak in thine ear will make thee dumb, yet are they much too light for the bore of the matter. These good fellows will bring thee where I am. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern hold their course for England. Of them I have much to tell thee. Farewell, he that thou knowest thine, Hamlet. Come, sirs, I will give you way for these letters, and do't the speedier that you may direct me to him from whom you brought them.
Now must your conscience my acquaintance seal, and you must put me in your heart for friend, sith you have heard, and with a knowing ear, that he who hath your noble father slain pursued my life.
It well appears, but tell me why you proceeded not against these feats so crimeful and so capital in nature, as by your safety, wisdom, all things else you mainly were stirred up.
Oh, for two special reasons, which may to you perhaps seem much unsinued, but yet to me they're strong. The queen, his mother, lives almost by his looks. And for myself, my virtue or my plague, be it either which, she's so conjunctive to my life and soul that as the star moves not but in his sphere, I could not but by her. The other motive why to a public count I might not go is the great love the general gender bear him, who, dipping all his faults in their affection, work,
like the spring that turneth wood to stone, convert his gyves to graces, so that my arrows, too slightly timbered for so loud a wind, would have reverted to my bow again, but not where I have aimed them.
And so have I a noble father lost, a sister driven into desperate terms, whose worth, if praises may go back again, stood challenger on mount of all the age for her perfections. But my revenge will come.
Break not your sleeps for that. You must not think that we are made of stuff so flat and dull that we can let our beard be shook with danger and think it pastime. You shortly shall hear more. I loved your father, and we love ourselves, and that, I hope, will teach you to imagine.
My lord!
How now? What news?
Letters, my lord, from Hamlet. These to your majesty, this to the queen.
From Hamlet? Who brought them?
Sailors, my lord, they say. I saw them not. They were given me by Claudio. He received them of him that brought them.
Laertes, you shall hear them. Leave us.
My lord.
High and mighty, you shall know that I am set naked in your kingdom. Tomorrow shall I beg leave to see your kingly eyes, when I shall, first asking your pardon, thereunto recount the occasion of my sudden and more strange return. Hamlet. What should this mean? Are all the rest come back? Or is it some abuse and no such thing?
Know you the hand?
'Tis Hamlet's character, naked. And in a postscript here he says, alone. Can you advise me?
I am lost in it, my lord, but let him come. It warms the very sickness in my heart that I shall live and tell him to his teeth, thus didst thou.
If it be so, Laertes, will you be ruled by me?
Aye, my lord, so you will not overrule me to a peace.
To thine own peace. If he be now returned, as checking at his voyage, and that he means no more to undertake it, I will work him to an exploit now ripe in my device, under the which he shall not choose but fall, and for his death no wind of blame shall breathe, but even his mother shall uncharge the practice and call it accident.
My lord, I will be ruled. The rather if you could devise it so that I might be the organ.
It falls right. You have been talked of since your travel much, and that in Hamlet's hearing. Some 2 months since, here was a gentleman of Normandy who made confession of you, and gave you such a masterly report for art and exercise in your defense, and for your rapier, most especial, that he cried out 'twould be a sight indeed if one could match you. This report of his did Hamlet so envenom with his envy, that he could nothing do but wish and beg your sudden coming o'er to play with you. Now, out of this.
What out of this, my lord?
Laertes. Was your father dear to you? Or are you like the painting of a sorrow, a face without a heart?
Why ask you this?
Not that I think you did not love your father, but that I know love is begun by time, and that I see in passages of proof time qualifies the spark and fire of it. There lives within the very flame of love a kind of wick or snuff that will abate it, and nothing is at a like goodness still. For goodness, growing to a pleurisy, dies in his own too much. That we would do, we should do when we would. For this wood changes, and hath abatements and delays as many as there are tongue, our hands, our accidents. And then this should is like a spendthrift sigh that hurts by easing. But to the quicker the ulcer. Hamlet comes back. What would you undertake to show yourself indeed your father's son, more than in words?
To cut his throat in the church.
No place indeed should murder sanctuarize. Revenge should have no bounds. But good Laertes, will you do this? Keep close within your chamber. Hamlet returns shall know you are come home. We'll put on those shall praise your excellence and set a double varnish on the fame the Frenchman gave you. Bring you in fine together and wager on your heads. He, being remiss, most generous, and free from all contriving, will not peruse the foils, so that with ease or with a little shuffling, you may choose a sword unbated, and in a pass of practice, requite him for your father.
I will do it. And for that purpose, I'll anoint my sword. I bought an unction of a mountebank so mortal that but dip a knife in it, Where it draws blood, no cataplasm so rare, collected from all simples that have virtue under the moon, can save the thing from death that is but scratched withal. I'll touch my point with this contagion, that if I gall him slightly, it may be death.
Let's further think on this. Weigh what convenience both of time and means may fit us to our shape. If this should fail, and that our drift look through our bad performance to a better not essayed, therefore, this project should have a back, or second, that might hold if this did blast in proved soft. Let me see. We'll make a solemn wager on your cunnings. I have it. When in your motion you are hot and dry, as make your bouts more violent to that end, and that he calls for drink, I'll have prepared him a chalice for the nonce, whereon but sipping. If he by chance escape your venom stuck, our purpose may hold there.
Oh.
Stay, what noise? Hello, sweet queen.
One woe doth tread upon another's heel, so fast they follow. Your sisters drowned, Laertes.
Drowned? Oh, where?
There is a willow grows aslant a brook that shows his hoar leaves in the glassy stream. There, with fantastic garlands, did she come, of crow flowers, nettles, daisies, and long purples, that liberal shepherds give a grosser name, but our cold maids do dead men's fingers call them. There, on the pendant boughs, her coronet weeds clambering to hang, an envious sliver broke, when down her weedy trophies and herself fell in the weeping brook. Her clothes spread wide, and mermaid-like a while they bore her up, which time she chanted snatches of old tunes, as one incapable of her own distress, or like a creature native and endued unto that element. But long it could not be, till that her garments, heavy with their drink, pulled the poor wretch from her melodious lay to muddy death.
Alas, then she is drowned.
Drowned. Drowned.
Too much of water hast thou, poor Ophelia, and therefore I forbid my tears. But yet, it is our trick. Nature her custom holds, let shame say what it will. When these are gone, the woman will be out. Adieu, my lord. I have a speech of fire that fain would blaze, but that this folly doubts it.
Let's follow Gertrude. How much I had to do to calm his rage, now fear I this will give it start again. Therefore, let's follow.
Has this fellow no feeling of his business, Horatio? He sings at grave-making.
Custom hath made it in him as property of easiness.
'Tis e'en so. The hand of little employment hath the daintier sense.
If it had never been
set up. That skull had a tongue in it and could sing once. How the knave jowls it to the ground as if 'twere Cain's jawbone that did the first murder. This might be the pate of a politician, which this ass now o'erreaches, one that would circumvent God, might it not?
It might, my lord.
Or of a courtier, which could say, good morrow, sweet lord. How dost thou, sweet lord? This might be my lord, such a one that praised my lord, such a one's horse, when he went to beg it, might it not?
Aye, my lord.
Why, e'en so. And now my lady worms, chopless, and knocked about the mazzard with a sexton's spade. Yes, fine revolution, and we had the trick to see it. Did these bones cost no more the breeding than to play at loggets with them? Mine ache to think on't. Here's another. Why, may not that be the skull of a lawyer? Maybe his quid it is now, his quillets, his cases, his tenures and his tricks. Why does he suffer this mad knave now to knock him about the sconce with a dirty shovel and will not tell him of his action of battery? I will speak to this fellow.
He took life at 59. Such a guest is meet.
Whose grave is this, sirrah?
Mine, sir.
What man dost thou dig it for?
For no man, sir.
What woman, then?
For none, neither.
Who is to be buried in?
One that was a woman, sir. But rest her soul, she's dead.
How absolute the knave is. How long hast thou been a grave maker?
Of all the days in the year, it came to it that day that our last king, Hamlet, or came Fortinbras.
How long is that since?
Cannot you tell that? Every fool can tell that. It was that very day that young Hamlet was born. He is mad, sent into England.
Ah, marry. Why was he sent into England?
Why? Because he was mad. He shall recover his wits there, or if he do not, is no great matter there.
Why?
It will not be seen in him there. There the manner is mad to see.
How came he mad?
Very strangely, they say.
How strangely?
Faith. Ill with losing his wits.
Upon what ground?
Why, here in Denmark. You know, I've been sexton near man and boy 30 years.
How long will a man lie at the earth ere he rot?
Faith, if he be not rotten before he dies, we have many pocket courses nowadays, scarce hold the lane in. Will last you some 8 year, 9 year? Tanner will last you 9 year.
Why, he more than another.
Why, sir, his hide is so tanned with his trade, it will keep out water a great while. And your water is a sore decayer of your awesome dead body. Here's a skull now. I'd laid you in the earth 23 years.
Whose was it?
Awesome mad fellows it was. Who do you think it was?
Nay, I know not.
A pestilence on him for a mad rogue. Pour a flagon of rhenish on me at once. This same skull, sir, was, sir, Yorick's skull. King's jester.
This?
In that.
Let me see it. Alas. Poor Yorick. I knew him, Horatio. A fellow of infinite jest, a most excellent fancy. He hath borne me on his back 1,000 times, and now how abhorred in my imagination it is. My gorge rises at it. Here hung those lips that I have kissed, I know not how oft. Where be your jibes now? Your gambols, your songs, your flashes of merriment that were wont to set the table on a roar? Not one now to mock your own grinning. Quite chop-fallen. Now get you to my lady's chamber and tell her, let her paint an inch thick. To this favor she must come. Make her laugh at that. Prithee, Horatio, tell me one thing.
What's that, my lord?
Dost thou think Alexander looked to this fashion of the earth?
Even so.
And smelt so?
Even so, my lord.
To what base uses we may return, Horatio. Why may not imagination trace the noble dust of Alexander till he find it stopping a bunghole?
Twere to consider too curiously to consider so.
No, faith, not a jot, but to follow him thither with modesty enough and likelihood to lead it as thus. Alexander died. Alexander was buried. Alexander returneth to dust. The dust is earth. Of earth we make loam, and why of that loam whereto he was converted, might they not stop a beer barrel?
Imperious Caesar, dead and turned to clay, might stop a hole to keep the wind away. Oh, that that earth which kept the world in awe should patch a wall to expel the winter's flaw. But soft. But softer, why? Here comes the king. The queen. The courtiers. Who is this they follow, and with such maimed rites? This doth betoken the course they follow did with desperate hand fordo its own life. 'Twas of some estate. Couch we a while and mark.
What ceremony else?
That is Laertes, a very noble youth, mark.
What ceremony else?
Her obsequies have been as far enlarged as we have warranted. Her death was doubtful, and but that great commander sways the order, she should in ground unsanctified have lodged to the last trumpet. But charitable prayers, shards, flints, and pebbles should be thrown on her. Yet here she has allowed her virgin crants, her maiden struments, and the bringing home of bell and burial.
Must there no more be done?
No more be done. We should profane the service of the dead to sing a requiem, and such rest to her as to peace-parted souls.
Lay her in the earth, and from her fair and unpolluted flesh may violets spring. I tell thee, churlish priest, a ministering angel shall my sister be when thou liest howling.
What, the fair Ophelia?
Sweets to the sweet, farewell. I hoped thou shouldst have been my Hamlet's wife. I thought thy bride bed to have decked, sweet maid, and not have strewed thy grave.
Oh, treble woe. Fall 10 times double on that cursed head, whose wicked deed thy most ingenious sense deprived thee of. Hold off the earth a while till I have caught her once more in mine arms. Now pile your dust upon the quick and dead, till of this flat a mountain you have made to o'ertop old Pelion, or the skyish head of blue Olympus.
What is he whose grief bears such an emphasis, whose praise of sorrow conjures the wandering stars and makes them stand like wonder-wounded hearers? This is I, Hamlet, the Dane.
Take
my soul! Oh, play us not well! I take my fingers from my throat, for though I am not splendid and rash, yet have I in me something dangerous which yet my wiseness fear. Hold off my hands!
Black them asunder!
Hamlet,
Why, I will fight with him upon this theme until my eyelids will no longer wag.
Oh, my son, what theme?
I loved Ophelia. 40,000 brothers could not with all their quantity of love make up my sum. What wilt thou do for her?
Oh, he is mad, Laird.
For love of God, forbear him.
Soon show me what thou do. Would weep, would fight, would fast, would tear thyself, would drink up ice, eat a crocodile, I'll do it. Dost thou come here to whine, to outface me with leaping in her grave? Be buried quick with her, and so will I. And if thou prate of mountains, let them throw millions of acres on us, till our ground, singeing his pate against the burning zone, make Ossa like a wart. Nay, and thou'lt mouth, I'll rant as well as thou.
This is mere madness, and thus a while the fit will work on him. Anon, as patient as the female dove, when that her golden couplets are disclosed, his silence will set drooping.
Hear you, sir. What is the reason that you use me thus? I loved you ever. But it is no matter. Let Hercules himself do what he may. The cat will mew, and dog will have his day.
I pray thee, good Horatio, wait upon him.
My lord.
Now, Laertes, strengthen your patience in our last night's speech. We'll put the matter to the present push.
Good Gertrude, set some watch over your son. This grave shall have a living monument. An hour of quiet shortly shall we see. Till then, in patience our proceeding be.
So much for this, sir.
Now shall you see the other. You do remember all the circumstances?
Remember it, my lord.
Sir, in my heart there was a kind of fighting that would not let me sleep. Methought I lay worse than the mutins in the bilboes. Rashly, and praised be rashness for it, let us know our indiscretion sometimes serves us well when our deep plots do pall. And that should learn us. There's a divinity that shapes our ends, rough hew them how he will.
That is most certain.
Up from my cabin, my sea gown scarfed about me, in the dark groped I to find out them, had my desire, fingered their packet, and in fine withdrew to mine own room again, there to unseal their grand commission. Where I found Horatio, a royal knavery, an exact command, larded with many several sorts of reasons, importing Denmark's health and England's too, with ho such bugs and goblins in my life, that on the supervised, no leisure baited, no not to stay the grinding of the axe, my head should be struck off.
Is it possible?
Here's the commission, read it at more leisure. But wilt thou hear how I did proceed?
I beseech you.
Being thus benetted round with villainies, ere I could make a prologue to my brains, they had begun the play. I sat me down, devised a new commission, and wrote out fair and earnest conjuration from the king that on the view and knowing of these contents, without debatement further, more or less, he should these bearers put to sudden death. Not shriving time allowed.
How was this sealed?
Why, even in that was heaven ordinant. I had my father's signet in my purse, which was the model of that Danish seal. Folded the writ up in the form of the other, subscribed it, gave it the impression, placed it safely, the changeling never known.
So Guildenstern and Rosencrantz go to it.
Why, man, they did make love to this employment. They're not near my conscience. Their defeat does by their own insinuation grow. 'Tis dangerous when the baser nature comes between the pass and fell insensed points of mighty opposites.
Why, what a king is this?
Does it not, think thee, stand me now upon? He that hath killed my king and whored my mother, popped in between the election and my hopes, thrown out his angle for my proper life, and with such cousinage, is not perfect conscience to quit him with this arm?
Peace. Who comes here?
Your lordship is right welcome back to Denmark.
I humbly thank you, sir. Dost know this waterfly?
No, my good lord.
Thy state is the more gracious, for 'tis a vice to know him.
Sweet lord, if your lordship were at leisure, I should impart a thing to you from his majesty.
I will receive it, sir, with all diligence of spirit.
Ah, sir, here is newly come to court Laertes. I know you are not ignorant of what excellence Laertes is.
I dare not confess that, lest I should compare with him in excellence. But to know a man well were to know himself.
I mean, sir, for his weapon. But in the imputation laid on him by them in his need, he's unfellowed.
What's his weapon?
Rapier and dagger.
That's two of his weapons, but well.
The king, sir, hath laid, sir, that in a dozen passes between yourself and him, he shall not exceed you 3 hits. He hath laid on 12 for 9, and it would come to immediate trial if your lordship would vouchsafe the answer.
How if I answer no?
I mean, my lord, the opposition of your person in trial.
Sir, I will walk here in the hall. If it please his majesty, it is the breathing time of day with me. Let the foils be brought, the gentleman willing, and the king hold his purpose. I will win for him, and I can. If not, I will gain nothing but my shame and the odd hit.
Shall I re-deliver you e'en so?
To this effect, sir, after what flourish your nature will.
I commend my duty to your lordship.
Yours, yours.
Yours.
He does well to commend it himself. There are no tongues else for his turn.
This lapwing runs away with the shell on his head.
He did comply with his dug before he sucked it. Thus has he, and many more of the same breed that I know this drossy age dotes on, only got the tune of the time and outward habits of encounter, a kind of yeasty collection which carries them through and through the most profound and winnowed opinions, and do but blow them to their trial. The bubbles are out.
My lord, his majesty commended him to you by young Osric, who brings back to him that you attend him in the hall. He sends to know if your pleasure hold to play with Laertes, or that you will take longer time.
I am constant to my purpose. They follow the king's pleasure. If his fitness speaks, mine is ready, now or whensoever.
provided I be so able as now.
The king and queen and all are coming down.
In happy time.
The queen desires you use some gentle entertainment to Laertes before you fall to play.
She well instructs me.
My lord.
You will lose this wager, my lord.
I do not think so. Since he went into France, I have been in continual practice. I shall win at the odds. But thou wouldst not think how ill all's here about my heart. But 'tis no matter.
Nay, good my lord.
It is but foolery. But it is such a kind of gain-giving as would perhaps trouble a woman.
If your mind dislike anything, obey it. I will forestall their repair hither and say you are not fit.
Not a whit. We defy augury. There's special providence in the fall of a sparrow. If it be now, 'tis not to come. If it be not to come, it will be now. If it be not now, yet it will come. The readiness is all. Since no man has aught of what he leaves, what is't to leave betimes? Let be.
Come, Hamlet, come, and take this hand from me.
Laertes.
Sir.
Give me your pardon, sir. I have done you wrong, but pardoned as you're a gentleman. This presence knows, and you must needs have heard, how I am punished with a sore distraction. What I have done, that might your nature, honor, and exception roughly awake, I here proclaim was madness. Was Hamlet wronged Laertes? Never Hamlet. If Hamlet from himself be ta'en away, and when he's not himself does wrong Laertes, then Hamlet does it not. Hamlet denies it. Who does it then? His madness. If it be so, Hamlet is of the faction that is wronged. His madness is poor Hamlet's enemy. Sir, in this audience, let my disclaiming from a purposed evil free me so far in your most generous thoughts that I have shot my arrow o'er the house and hurt my brother.
I am satisfied in nature, whose motive in this case should stir me most to my revenge. But in my terms of honor, I stand aloof and will no reconcilement till by some elder masters of known honor I have a voice and president of peace to keep my name ungored. But till that time, I do receive your offered love, like love, and will not wrong it.
I embrace it, freely, and will this brother's wager frankly play. Give us the foils. Come on.
Come, one for me.
I'll be your foil, Laertes. In mine ignorance, your skill shall like a star of the darkest night stick fiery off indeed.
Hey, mock me, sir.
No, by this hand.
Give them the foils, young Osric.
My lord.
Come, Hamlet. You know the wager.
Very well, my lord. Your grace has laid the odds of the weaker side.
I do not fear it. I have seen you both. But since he is better, we have therefore odds.
This is too heavy. Let me see another.
This likes me well. These foils have all a length.
Aye, my good lord.
Set the stoops of wine upon that table.
My lord.
If Hamlet give the first or second hit, or quit in answer of the third exchange, let all the battlements their ordnance fire. The king shall drink to Hamlet's better breath. And in the cup an union shall he throw, richer than that which four successive kings in Denmark's crown have worn. Give me the cups. And let the kettle to the trumpet speak, the trumpet to the cannoneer without. The cannons to the heavens to earth. Now the king drinks to Hamlet. Come, begin. And you, the judges, bear a wary eye.
Come on, sir.
Come, my lord.
One.
No.
Judgment.
A hit. A very palpable hit.
Well, again.
Stay. Give me a drink.
My lord.
Hamlet, this pearl is thine. Here's to thy health. Give him the cup.
I'll play this bout first. Set it by a while. Come. Another hit! What say you?
A touch, I do confess.
Our son shall win.
He's fat and scant of breath. Here, Hamlet, take my napkin, rub thy brows.
The queen carouses to thy fortune, Hamlet.
Good, madam.
Gertrude, do not drink.
I will, my lord. I pray you, pardon me.
It is the poisoned cup. It is too late.
I dare not drink yet, madam. By and by.
Come, let me wipe thy face.
My lord, I'll hit him now.
I do not think.
And yet it is almost against my conscience.
Come, for the thirdly, at ease you do but dally. I pray you, pass with your best violence. I'm afeard you make a wanton of me.
Say you so. Come on.
Nothing neither way.
Horatio.
Have at you. No!
Parker, they are incensed.
My sword.
My sword. Now. So. Come. Again.
Laertes! Look to the queen there, ho! They bleed on both sides.
How is it, my lord?
How is Laertes? Why, as a woodcock to mine own spring, Josric, I am justly killed with mine own treachery.
How does the queen?
She swoons to see them bleed.
No, no, the drink! The drink! Oh, my dear heaven, the drink! The drink!
Villainy. Ah, let the doors be locked! Treachery, seek it out!
This is here, Hamlet. Hamlet, thou art slain. No medicine in the world can do thee good. In thee there is not half an hour of life. Huh? The treacherous instrument is in thy hand, unbated and envenomed. The foul practice hath turned itself on me. Lo, here I lie, never to rise again. My mother's poisoned. I can no more. The king. The king's to blame!
The point envenomed too. Then.
Venom to thy work!
Treason! Ah! Yet defend me, friends! I am but hurt!
Here! Thou incestuous, murderous, gambler Dane, drink of this potion! Is thy union here? Follow my mother!
He is justly served. It is a poison tempered by himself. Exchange forgiveness with me, noble Hamlet. Mine. And my father's death come not upon thee, nor thine on me.
Heaven make thee free of it. I follow thee. I am dead, Horatio. Wretched queen, adieu. You that look pale and tremble at this chance, that are but mutes or audience to this act. Had I but time, as this fell sergeant Death is strict in his arrest, oh, I could tell you. But let it be. Horatio, I am dead. Thou livest. Report me, and my cause aright to the unsatisfied.
Never believe it. I am more an antique Roman than a Dane. Here's yet some liquor left.
Oh, how's that, a man? Give me the cup. Go, by heaven, I'll have it.
Oh, God, Horatio, what a wounded name. Things standing thus unknown shall I leave behind me. If thou didst ever hold me in thy heart, absent thee from felicity a while, and in this harsh world draw thy breath in pain to tell my story. What warlike noise is this?
Young Fortinbras, with conquest come from Poland, to the ambassadors of England gives this warlike volley.
I die, Horatio. A potent poison quite o'ercrows my spirit. I cannot live to hear the news from England, but I do prophesy. The election lights on Fortinbras. He has my dying voice. So tell him, with the occurrence more and less which have solicited, the rest is silence.
Cracks a noble heart. Good night, sweet prince. And flights of angels sing thee to thy rest.
Why does the drum come hither?
Where is this?
What is it you would see? If aught of woe or wonder, cease your search.
This quarry cries on havoc. O proud death, what feast is toward in thine eternal cell, that thou so many princes at a shot so bloodily hast struck?
The sight is dismal, and our affairs from England come too late. The ears are senseless that should give us hearing, to tell him his commandment is fulfilled, that Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Where should we have our thanks?
Not from his mouth. Had it the ability of life to thank you, he never gave commandment for their death. But since so jump upon this bloody question, you from the Polack wars and you from England are here arrived. Give order that these bodies, high on a stage, be placed to the view. And let me speak to the yet unknowing world how these things came about. So shall you hear of carnal, bloody, and unnatural acts. Of accidental judgments, casual slaughters, of deaths put on by cunning and forced cause, and in this upshot, purposes mistook, fallen on the inventors' heads. All this can I truly deliver.
Let us haste to hear it, and call the noblest to the audience. For me, with sorrow, I embrace my fortune. I have some rights of memory in this kingdom, which now to claim my vantage doth invite me.
Of that I shall have also cause to speak, and from his mouth, whose voice will draw on more. But let this same be presently performed, even while men's minds are wild, lest more mischance on plots and errors happen.
Let four captains bear Hamlet like a soldier to the stage, for he was likely, had he been put on, to have proved most royally. And for his passage, the soldier's music and the rites of war, speak loudly for him. Take up the bodies. Such a sight as this becomes the field, but here shows much amiss. Go, bid the soldiers shoot.
Production of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark was produced by John Tidyman in 1971. Ronald Pickup played Hamlet.
Red Nose Day is back on the 21st of March.
Yeah.
So whether you sound like Michael Barclay,
Georgia Mann,
or even this person, every laugh makes a difference. We're celebrating 40 years of comic relief and the nation doing something funny for money. Get involved at bbc.co.uk/Red Nose Day.
Unclassified heads into the great outdoors with music by potential award winners inspired by sounds of nature. That's in half an hour here on BBC Radio 3 with the time now at 11 o'clock.
Hello, I'm Hannah Peel and welcome to the Night Tracks Mix, 30 minutes of continuous music for late night listening. Tonight, Lebanese artist Mack Codsey explores the silence between the New World and the aftermath. We have night birds brought to life in music, the powerful voice of the great Hawa Kasi Madi Diabati with Trio di Cali in collaboration with the Cronus Quartet, a kind of ode to the sun taken from Brian Eno's album Forever and Ever No More, and An Invitation to Dance by Estonian artist Marian Nutt. But we begin tonight's mix within the stillness of Galina Gregorieva's beautiful choral sound world. This is from her 1999 piece, On Leaving. I hope you enjoy it.